I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
May we have the roll call?
Councilmember Deedy?
Here.
Councilmember Morgan?
Here.
Councilmember Edelman?
Here.
Councilmember Pepper?
Here.
Councilmember Weber?
Here.
Madam Mayor?
Yes, Councilmember Pepper.
I would like to move to waive the council rules to allow the council to consider this resolution immediately, and it is a resolution that you have in front of you. The reason we need to do this is because the resolution is an amendment to our council agenda.
Excuse me, Mayor. We've just been handed 7 resolutions. Which resolution are you referring to?
Okay, I can read the resolution into the record.
Well, just tell us which one it is.
Excuse
Give me,
me
the title.
Excuse me. This motion waives the rules to place this resolution before the council. Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay, this is about adopting, recognizing, and documenting the council-approved agenda for its April 7th council meeting.
What's the? You have to read the resolution.
Yes.
You have to make a motion.
I move to make a motion to waive the council rules to allow the council to consider this resolution immediately.
I second it.
You still haven't read the motion for the document.
I move to waive the council rules to allow the council to consider this resolution immediately. A resolution of the City Council of the City of Black Diamond, King County, Washington, adopting, recognizing, and documenting the council-approved agenda for its April 7th council meeting. I move to adopt this resolution. The resolution changes tonight's agenda. This is the agenda that the Mayor Pro Tem Morgan and I approved on Sunday and asked to be noticed and distributed to you. I have prepared supplemental packets for everyone.
Mayor, is there going to be a discussion?
Is there? Well, I still don't know where she is. She didn't say what number the resolution was.
On the new agenda, it's resolution number 7.
Is there any discussion?
I have a few comments to make because you may be suspending the rules for tonight, but you have violated the council rules, you and Councilmember Morgan, in this last week. So let me just let everyone in the audience know what's transpired.
Excuse me.
Just a minute. This is my time.
The only item on the floor is moving to adopt the resolution.
Okay. Here's my point. Since yesterday afternoon, we have received 7 resolutions to be considered tonight. This one was received by email at 1:17 p.m. on April 6th. The deadline for the packets for public knowledge, so all of you would be informed, was last Thursday, so it could be in the packet and on the website on Friday. How many of you folks in the audience have seen this resolution tonight? Nobody. How do you expect, when you guys are talking about transparency and open government and all of this stuff, and you do everything behind closed doors, everything comes in at the last minute? This is typical of Save Black Diamond and the Save Black Diamond council members.
Excuse me. Point of order. Please confine your remarks to the motion on the floor.
I am. I got it last night, yesterday afternoon. How do you expect us to be able to respond to this when it should have been in the packet
actually,
last
Actually, this
Friday?
Didn't come till 10:58. This particular version didn't
come till... Oh, is this another version?
This is another version.
Oh.
It came at 10:58 last night.
Well, then...
Okay. Yeah.
Well, I was just going to say, then Janie and I have the wrong version, unless that's just what was placed in front of us. How do Janie and I understand what you guys are doing if we don't get stuff on a timely matter or the correct stuff? And how, you know,
or any stuff
you can answer, Pat Pepper.
I understand your feelings.
Could I comment for a second?
Yes.
Excuse me.
What we're talking now, we're discussing the motion on the floor, and the motion is to amend or suspend the rules, Council
right.
Rule 3.1. Which requires that the agenda and the matters for the agenda be placed before the council, or I'm sorry, before the mayor, or on the Thursday prior to the regular council meeting. And I just wanted to point out that the state law requires that you provide advance notice of agenda in 35A-12-160. And I'm reading from this. In addition to the requirement that a city publish a text or a summary of the content of each adopted ordinance, every city shall establish a procedure for notifying the public of upcoming meetings and the preliminary agenda for the forthcoming council meeting. Such procedure may include, but not be limited to, written notification to the city's official newspaper, publication of a notice in the official newspaper, posting of upcoming council meeting agendas, or such other processes as the city determines will satisfy the intent of this requirement. 3.1 of the council rules has been adopted to satisfy this requirement, and it has been consistently violated.
And plus, you've already taken action on your items, which is a violation of Open Public Meetings Act. Yes, Ms. Morgan.
I think maybe that I might be able to clear some of this up a little bit, because the picture of what's going on here is not exactly true to fact. When I start reading these whereases on this resolution, that will sort of explain it to the public and the rest of us. So the reason this resolution is the way it is has several whereases. Whereas the council agenda that was publicly noticed for the regular council meeting on April 7th was not approved for the council meeting on April 7th was not approved by the council president or the mayor pro tempore as required by Council Rule 2.2. And whereas the mayor instructed the city clerk not to to notice her own agenda for the regular council meeting on tonight without regard to the approval authority of the council president and the mayor pro tempore and in violation of the council rules and procedures. Whereas the mayor instructed the city clerk to notice the mayor's version of the agenda for the regular council meeting on March 3rd without regard to the approval and authority of the council president and the mayor pro tempore and in violation of the council rules of procedure, this caused the council to call a special meeting with the correct agenda on March 2nd, 2016. And whereas the mayor instructed the city clerk to notice her own agenda for the regular council meeting on March 17th, 2016, without regard to the approval authority of the council president and the mayor pro tempore and in violation of the council rules of procedure, this caused the mayor pro tempore to bring the properly approved agenda to the meeting and successfully place it before the council for approval as a substitute agenda. And whereas an agenda is publicly noticed that has not been properly approved according to the council rules, the authority and the work of the council is obstructed. And whereas when an agenda is publicly noticed that has not been properly approved according to the council rules, the public may be misled as to what business the council intends to conduct. And whereas when an agenda is publicly noticed that has not been approved according to the council rules, items that may require public notice cannot be acted upon, and all those items are then not properly included, and they may be delayed. And then, whereas an agenda is publicly noticed that has not been properly approved, according to the council rules, public confidence in the institution is jeopardized. Whereas the council president and the mayor pro tempore have prepared a correct and approved council agenda in attachment A of this resolution, the council president and the mayor pro tempore introduced this resolution because it was the only way to communicate to the public the council's approved agenda. Although not a legal notice, the inclusion of this resolution in the agenda packet provides at least some notice to the public and the council members and the staff. Whereas the sponsors of this resolution intend to ask the council to approve this resolution and to substitute and the substitute agenda at its regular council meeting April 7th. Now, therefore, the City Council of the City of Black Diamond, Washington, does resolve as follows. Section 1, that the agenda for the regular council meeting on April 7th shall be this attachment A. Section 2, the mayor is reminded of her duty to faithfully administer the adopted policies of the city and is urged to allow the city clerk in the future to properly notice the council meetings and agendas in accordance with the council rules of procedure.
You know I don't recognize your rules. That's why I didn't notify these meetings, and it didn't come in. This revised version came in at 10:58 last night.
Point of order.
Point of order. I think I had the floor.
She's mayor. She is.
Okay, so
do we have any further comments?
I have a comment. So help me understand as a council member, okay, that you send in your agenda with just a line item, just saying what do you have to say? It's a resolution authorizing an agreement with Return Meds, but you don't include any packet material. You just give that to the mayor and clerk, and then you provide packet material, because before you shake your head, Ms. Morgan, that, like Councilmember Edelman stated, April 6th at 1:17, I got this. April 6th, 2:55, I got this. April 7th, April 6th. So if I just got these and they weren't, help me understand the flow of what you guys are doing, that if these weren't with your agenda and everything attached, why is that? Why would these come now? And I'd like all three of you to answer.
Councilmember Morgan.
All three of us can't answer because we don't do this as a three-panel group, just to make that very clear.
This is a council meeting.
Right now.
No, that's what I'm saying. All three of us don't do this. What I'm trying to tell you is we have been submitting to the clerk on Friday, before the week before the council meeting is going to be in, no, the Friday before that, so that when she gets there in the morning, she has the council agenda. The council agendas that we have worked on and prepared and sent the clerk have not been noticed by order of the mayor.
You have changed that agenda three times this week.
Point of order. We have a motion on the floor. Yeah. Everyone has had a chance to speak.
Is there any further discussion? I don't think Brian Weber spoke on it. Did you want to speak on it? Brian?
I'll speak to this motion. Anybody that's been to a recent council meeting in the last few months knows that these are not well-run meetings. And just to let Tammy know, these are not submitted by three of us. The only resolution I submitted happened to be the one that I covered Monday night in my budget and finance committee meeting. I get to see these resolutions same time you do. And as far as the resolutions that were handed out tonight, it's my understanding, after looking at the resolution we're talking about now, attachment A, the agenda, that these, for the most part, all of them, with exception for two items, are all to be sent to, it's for first reading tonight. So there's no action to be taken on them. They're simply first readings. So that's all I'm going to say.
Councilmember Edelman.
Something that needs to be brought up is that there are two items that are not on this new proposed agenda that's on the mayor's agenda. One is the agreement with Pump Tech to upgrade our water system for the city. The other one is an agreement to hire a consulting inspector for our building department, and those aren't even brought up. They're not in the new agenda.
I call the question.
So,
take a vote.
No, she's calling the question.
She's calling the question.
That's fine.
I'll second it.
I don't think you have to second.
I don't think you have to. No, that one. No.
She needs to vote.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion carries. So we have presentations for the.
We just did.
We voted on the motion.
We voted on the motion, and the motion was, could the clerk read it out?
Well, hold on.
Wait.
She wanted to explain her reasoning behind your suspending the council rules, so she read that. So that's where that was at. So what are you exactly voting on?
But the motion is on the table.
We've just voted.
And we just voted on it.
Yeah. We adopted the resolution with the new agenda.
Yes.
Yeah.
We just
it's
did
It's your
that.
Show. Let's move on.
So the next thing on the agenda is the...
On the new agenda.
Please. We have some presentations to make. It would be really nice if we could do a presentation. Mm-hmm. The first thing on the agenda after you change the agenda. Jim Cazzaro and Gary Davis. So for the service that these people have done for our community on the Planning Commission, and Sherry Roth has been on the Planning Commission, one of the longest terms that we've ever had in office, and Gary Davis is leaving for medical reasons, but he may be back, you don't know. And Jim Cazzaro has been serving, I don't know how many years you were on the Planning Commission. So anyway, we had a lot of controversy this year, and I didn't get around to doing a presentation, but I wanted to make sure that every vote was not on. So we also had a presentation from Terry Yankovich about an unfinished house in Eagle Creek development.
Thank you. Terry Yankovich, I live in Eagle Creek. And the development is about 10 years old, and we have had three developers in there. And 2 years ago, the last house in the development was started. And it has been sitting there for 2 years. It's a hazard, it's an eyesore, and it is bringing our property values down. We had a petition signed through the neighborhood that everybody in the neighborhood signed that we are trying to get guidance as to where we go from here. We can't get a hold of a builder. We can't get a hold of the management company. I've gone online to try to find out who the property belongs to, or and just nowhere to be found. Now, with that being said, last Sunday, a truck pulled up in the driveway, and it is a builder. And he has told us that he has bought the property, and he's in 30-day escrow, and then after 30 days, he will go to the he will get the permits from the city of Black Diamond. Well, I've been into the city of Black Diamond, and they know nothing about it. So we, as concerned neighbors of our development, would like to know if any of you guys can give us guidance as to how we figure out who this property belongs to.
I think Barbara has some answers for you.
Hey!
She's our community development director.
That's Barbara who I spoke to. Oh, good.
So I'm Barb Kincaid. I'm the community development director, and
we had spoken
earlier, and that fellow did show up and talk to us about getting his demolition permit and the building permit. So, but I really appreciate you coming in, because that has been a problem. We've been trying to figure out the same thing you have, how to deal with that potentially hazardous structure in your subdivision.
Now, do we have any kind of time frame as to? I mean. Did he just say that he wants to apply, or did he actually apply?
He just said that he wanted to apply, and he took the forms with him.
Okay.
We gave him, costs, permit forms and costs. So we do have a name and a phone number and more information to continue following that up.
Great.
But I sure do appreciate you and the other homeowners there trying to figure out what to do.
Thank
and
you.
And I'm sorry for your frustration.
We appreciate it. Thank you.
The next thing on this new agenda is the consent agenda. I would accept a motion for the consent agenda.
Make a motion to accept the consent agenda.
Do I hear a second?
I'll second it.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Now, the item number 5 on the agenda, they had asked if they could go first on the agenda. Does anybody have an objection to that? So does somebody want to make a motion to reorder the agenda?
I make a motion to reorder the agenda, moving item number 5 up to item number 1.
Second.
That's fine. Whatever. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay, so the next thing we will do is move.
Excuse me. Before you go on, could you identify what was on the consent agenda for all of us that don't have a copy of the agenda?
Oh.
We have no idea what was
on. Oh, I'm sorry. No. Claim checks from April 7th. And the minutes from the special joint meeting between Council and Planning Commission of March 8th. So we will, this is the time for public comments. Those wishing to address Council, please come forward and state your name. Please limit your comments to 3 minutes when you come up to the podium. Is anybody wishing to, Bob?
Bob Edelman, 29871 232nd Avenue, Southeast, Black Diamond. During the executive session of the March 17th council meeting, Council Member Morgan left the council chambers, joined Kristen Bryant, walked out of sight around the corner of the hallway. After a 1 to 2 minute discussion with Ms. Bryant, she went back into the council chambers and said, in response to a comment, that she had the right to talk to her lawyer. That was a lie. Kristen Bryant is not a lawyer. I asked Ms. Bryant what she and Erica had talked about, and she replied that they did not talk about anything. That was an obvious lie. Robin Taylor submitted a public records request for the information that had been disclosed in the hallway. Ms. Morgan responded in an email that she went into the toilet. That was another obvious lie. There were plenty of witnesses. Ms. Morgan also responded that Kristen and I, and these are, this is a quote, Kristen and I were in that area of the hallway, and we may have said hello, but that's all. That was her lie number three and the biggest of them all. Councilmember Morgan and Save Black Diamond like to say that we need more openness and transparency. That's absolutely true. Erica Morgan needs to explain what she and Kristen Bryant discussed in the hallway during an executive session and why she has lied about what happened. Let's have some openness.
This isn't the time for a back and forth.
Would the council be willing to modify their rules since the rules have been waived anyway, so that Councilmember Morgan could respond to me?
I think the public deserves an answer, as well as Tammy and I, who are constantly being ignored in the whole process, like we are not even on the city council. Erica, you owe us an explanation. I was out in that hallway.
Excuse me.
We also have a video. There's a video camera in that hallway, just in case you didn't know it. And I would have played it tonight, but we couldn't get it to work on our equipment.
I still stand by my statements before. I can't help it if you don't believe me. What you do is what you do.
Ms. Morgan, didn't you hear what the mayor said? There's video surveillance of the area that you were in talking to Kristen.
Point of order.
Between 1 and 2 minutes. There's also lots of witnesses that you did not go to the toilet.
Point of order, Mr. Edelman.
So quit lying.
Point of order, please remember the
public. I don't recognize any point of orders. That's for the mayor to recognize. Don't you, any of you understand rules of order?
Is there anybody else that wishes to speak? Robin Taylor?
Robin Taylor, Black Diamond. My comments are going to go a little long this evening. I would appreciate if there would be a waiver of time. I won't go beyond 6 minutes for sure, but I have a little more than 3 minutes, probably five.
I have no issue.
I have no problem with that.
Okay. Go ahead. You have the time.
All right. Thank you. I have listened to the audio of the April 5th, 2016 Government Operations Committee meeting. Even though Resolution 16-1081 regarding the replacement of the on-site sodium hypochlorite generation system was never given a first reading at a council meeting, nor was it referred to a committee, it was discussed and decisions were made. Councilmember Morgan voiced the following concerns. One, the water system supply plan is expired and must be updated so the council can know that this project is the highest priority. My comment, perhaps it would be more logical to update the plan after the entire Springs reconstruction project is finalized. Concern number two, staff report says city has received funds from Oak Point and Palmer Coking Coal in the amount of $153,609.21 per WSFA for the Springs reconstruction project, but those funds are earmarked for other projects, not just this one. My comment, correct, but the $61,175 for this project is apparently included in that $153,000. Third concern, staff report says the current treatment system is beyond its useful life, but the proposal says the city wants to up upgrade Councilmember Morgan's emphasis to meet increasing water demands. My comment, apparently upgrading is synonymous with underhanded. Councilmember Morgan went on to state, quote, I believe that the main reason for doing this project is to meet the increasing water demands mostly from the Yarrow Bay Oak Point MPDs, close quote. Councilmember Morgan states the basis for this belief is that the current pump is 400 gallons per minute and the new pump will be 1,100 gallons per minute. If an old 400 gallon per minute pump will soon become inadequate, why would it be a smart thing to replace it with a new 400 gallon per minute pump? Then there is that sneaky word, upgrade, which can actually be found on each of the first three pages of Resolution 16-1081, as well as the first page of the RFP. It is readily noticeable should anyone take the time to read the resolution. Staff has not performed some great sleight of hand to get this past the council. Councilmember Morgan ends with her conclusions. One, this project is not a high priority. Two, the city is way behind on maintaining the current water system. Three, Councilmembers Morgan and Weber had questions about this during last year's budget review. I searched the minutes of December 7th, 10th, and 17th council meetings of 2015, of which those were the meetings that Brian Weber, Councilmember Weber, was a new member at, and I found no record of these concerns. Number four, council cannot know for sure this project is highest priority until an updated water system supply plan is brought forward. It is absolutely stunning and beyond belief that Councilmember Morgan believes that upgrading the treatment system for our water supply is somehow not part of maintaining the current water system, especially when Councilmember Morgan speaks quite often about water and hydrology. This causes me to believe that her conclusions on this are based not upon her knowledge, but rather upon her personal bias and agenda. This decision is capricious and arbitrary. Meanwhile, water continues to flow through a 3 to 4 inch water supply line running above ground out to the construction site on the west side of town. How much water is being used now? Summer is coming and water usage increases. At what point will we exceed the 400 gallons per minute of treated water? I know that council members Deedy and Weber are on city water. I do not know about council members Morgan and Weber. Council member Weber, are you willing to allow untreated drinking water into your home? Into your neighbors' homes? What volume of untreated water are you willing to allow into our water supply system? 100? 200, 300 gallons per minute? Can anyone here say Flint, Michigan? When the water treatment system fails, the interconnect to the Tacoma water system will be opened and the water rates for the citizens on city water will immediately skyrocket. We have plenty of water and this council needs to ensure that we can continue to use our own water. Have council members Morgan, Weber, and Pepper taken a tour of the springs and the water supply system? Have you seen the condition of the crumbling slope which holds our water supply pipeline? To say that this crucial part of the city's clean water supply is not a high priority either speaks of vast ignorance or a vast personal bias and agenda. Council members Morgan and Pepper will cause the entire Springs Reconstruction Project to die in committee because they are not thinking of the citizens of Black Diamond. They are only thinking of stopping Oak Point at every possible turn. If
your
that
time
means...
is, we did 3-6 minutes.
Oh, you did? Oh, I just got two paragraphs.
You got another.
You have another one.
Okay. All right. I will be back. This is...
It was only that simple.
Hey everybody, my name is Jason Seth. I live on I live in Black Diamond off Sunny Lane. Thanks for taking care of that house. So I had a whole spiel. I'm just going to submit it to Mary Jane. So I just want to get 2 points. I'm just going to call it the atrocity of democracy. We witnessed earlier in the meeting. Could have been completely avoided if you just simply had a portion of your agenda where you approve the agenda, you know, and then you can make a motion to change the agenda. It's not really that difficult. The second point, and I'm, let's see if I got it here. I just want to say if everything that I've witnessed, I believe, is just wrong, just straight wrong. You know, Mr. Weber's like, oh, they haven't been handled, you know, properly, or they've been kind of poorly run meetings. That's kind of the understatement of the year. So what I think people should do is contact the Washington State Auditor's Office, and I have the number. I'm going to read it here. His name is Michael L. Kersley. He's the Assistant State Auditor for the Washington State Auditor's Office, 841 North Central Avenue, Building C, Suite 201 in Kent, Washington, 98032. His phone number is 253-372-6250. All right. His email address is Pursley, P-U-R-S-L-E-Y-M, at sao.wa.gov. All right. You can also go to the state attorney, or excuse me, I tried to go to the state attorney general's office. They actually told me to go to the state auditor's office. So you go to sao.wa.gov, right? State auditor's office, washington.gov, and you can file an online complaint. So that's all I got. Thank you. Phone number is 253-372-6250. His name is Michael L. Pursley. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anybody else wishing to address council? Tashner? Commander Tashner?
Thank you. I'm requesting the council that I use up to 8 minutes max, if possible.
Is that okay? All right, go ahead.
Thank you. I want to introduce myself, first of all. I'm Vice Commander Mark Tashner. I live on Lake Sawyer, 30708 229th Place Southeast, Black Diamond. I'm here tonight to talk about something positive. I am in the U.S. Coast Guard Reserve Auxiliary. It is run by the citizens of the United States. It is the non-armed branch of the Coast Guard. And I am also the Human Resources Director for Seattle. So if any of you folks would like to join the auxiliary, or you got anybody over 17 that wants to do something with their life, we'll take them. Okay? You don't get a paycheck, but your paycheck is your uniform and the esprit de corps, training, getting to use the PX on any base. You become a Department of Homeland Security person. And you get a thorough background check, which is great. So, and I'll share with you some of the things that have happened to me personally that really built me up. Okay, so the reason why I came tonight, we have, since Lake Sawyer is one of 5 lakes in Washington State that use gasoline-powered boats, we have vessel safety programs and about boating safety courses. Now, since January 2016, it's been required that anyone over 16 operating a boat needs to have a boater safety card, also known as a boater driver's license for the state of Washington. That course is taken online or it can be taken through the Coast Guard Auxiliary, which is taught. We're going to have a class here this month that you get a boater education card out of the deal. It's pretty good. It costs $10 and it's good for life. Something positive there. And it's good out on the ocean and wherever you go. In the auxiliary, we have 530,000 auxiliarists in the United States that give 1.7 million hours of voluntary time. If you were to take that and add what you're worth per hour, that's a lot of money. And they equated that basically under Homeland Security as one of the reasons that the Coast Guard can now this year ask for a new icebreaker, which is roughly $1 billion. And that's money saved by the citizens participating in the auxiliary. So we're a multi-agency FEMA-trained group our job as program visitors and safety vessel examiners is to work with the public, make sure that the vessels are safe, they're seaworthy, and that people know what on a boat can basically be dangerous and how to prevent injury and also how to get help. I'll give you an example. A lot of times with this new fuel, it's mixed with alcohol. Alcohol will tend to degrade a fuel line. And a degraded fuel line over time will tend to rupture under pressure and can cause a boat fire. When a fiberglass boat catches fire, you don't even want to try to put it out. Get off the vessel and try to be upward of the wind because the fumes can kill you. This is something I learned in boating safety class, and it's something I also learned. Hypothermia also can kill you. Hypothermia in this region is roughly, at 50 years of age, you got 50 minutes to live, and at 50 degrees water temperature. So one of the things we learn to do to keep the heat in our body is hopefully wear a hat and or curl up in a fetal position while we float and wait for help. Okay. Being a person that grew up on Lake Sawyer, and I still live on Lake Sawyer, I see a lot of float planes coming in and out, and I've seen close calls with the trees and with cartwheeling. I've been very concerned about having a boat that can go out and rescue, and both with the police and the fire department, and have something year-round, but also something environmentally friendly. So with that, as a concerned citizen and as an auxiliarist, I invested my own money in an old Navy patrol boat, which we've now launched on Lake Sawyer. And our goal is to make this available to the city of Black Diamond and to the King County Fire District 44 to use for rescue, for training, and also for other safety measure training. So I brought a picture of it. This is the patrol boat we're talking about that was used in Los Angeles. And it has since then been decommissioned, and it was brought to the museum in Bellingham where these things were built. And it was being restored by the group in Bellingham until their building burned down. So we got lucky. For $5,000, we picked ourselves up a patrol vessel that's 30 feet long and 10 feet wide. And it can be used for all kinds of good stuff. So we're making that available, and I'll leave this package with the city. We've already talked to the fire chief, who I used to work with as a volunteer. So a lot of good can come out of it. And hopefully electrical energy from the sun can charge the batteries, and we have something that's good to go all year round. That's what we need on Lake Sawyer. So hopefully, as the Coast Guard and an auxiliarist and a citizen, we can do that. And we can do it within budget. So if any of you folks would like to join the auxiliary, I'll leave a pamphlet up front. You can also go to cgoxseattle.org, and there's a join form, and then I'll get a hold of you, and we'll interview you and get you going. As long as you don't have a felony, you're good to go. And if you know any people, especially with a boat, that want to do patrols, especially husband-wife teams, we encourage that. It's a real plus. BOAT stands for Breakout Another Thousand. I understand that well. I got 4 days on the couch for the boat I bought. Okay. I'll leave this with you. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else that would like to address council down here?
Is it okay to address on, it sounds like the agenda item to hiring a new inspector is removed. Is it okay
yes.
to talk about that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I just wanted to say that William Hill, I applied for a permit yesterday. We're trying to purchase a home in Black Diamond, and he reviewed all of our plans within the day and issued a permit in a day, and that's unheard of when dealing with the planning department. So I just wanted to say that I hope that you guys will hire him.
Okay, thank you. And there was somebody in the back that wanted to speak.
Leanne Garcia, Black Diamond. I just wanted to let you know that I like that the council committee meetings are in the evening now. I can now attend because I work during the day, and I've attended many of the meetings, and I feel that the council is doing good work. For example, it was probably Tuesday, the Diamond Ridge final plat was reviewed, and no issue was found, but if one had been found, they could have kind of dealt with it before tonight's meeting. So I thought that it was an example of how it is useful. I do have a problem. I don't understand why we can't hear from city staff. I would really be interested to have to be able to listen, to hear from them at the committee meetings as well. And, you know, I'm a taxpayer. I'm concerned. I want to know what they have to say. And I guess that's all I have right now. Thank you.
Thanks.
Is there you wanted to speak? Sorry, I forgot your name already.
Good evening. My name is Gary McLean, and I'm an attorney representing the applicants tonight on your subdivision that's up on the agenda tonight. And I want to thank you for moving it up on the agenda. I believe it's next after public comments. But just to let you know, your applicant team is present. We have Laura, we have Russell, and Jalen. There are three people. Raise your hands. They are three of the folks that make up Shake and Bake LLC. And the committee members know that, and those that you got your packet, the subdivision went through a long process. It's already been approved by the hearing examiner in 2011. It's been a number of years. It's been built out. It's right up here behind you on 5th. You can drive by and you can see that the roads are, you know, they're almost done, and one of the houses is in the process because it's an existing lot. But we're just asking that you consider it sincerely tonight. And tonight is the 92nd day since this application for final plat approval was deemed complete by city staff. And we want to thank city staff for their hard work and time and review. And we hope that you vote favorably tonight to approve it, because these lots will be for sale. And I think you really like the homes that are being built on it, because it will be a boost to your tax coffers, and it will be a nice place for many of your, several of your new residents to live. So thank you for your time.
Thank you. Is there anyone else wishing to speak?
My name is Sam Pace, or it's Irwin Pace, but a lot of my friends know me as Sam, and I live at 29839 154th Avenue Southeast, and that's in unincorporated King County near the north end of the Kent Black Diamond Road. And I'm sorry, the sir that in the green shirt, that I didn't catch your name, but you had made a suggestion about adding an item for approval of the agenda to the agenda. It occurs to me that there's a lot of paper that floats around. Yeah.
May I interrupt? Because it's really difficult to hear. I'm not sure that the microphone
is picking up. I'll try and speak up. Is that better? Okay,
oh, no,
thank
it's
you.
Just, I think, yeah, just the microphone picking you up.
I've got a head full of pollen. that he was talking about maybe adding a line on the agenda that says approval of the agenda, and then if you wanted to make a motion to add things or take things off, you could. And then the other thing that I think follows from that is that as those items that are on the agenda come up, the council members have the opportunity to vote them up, vote them down, refer them to a committee. If there's something that's been in a committee too long and the majority of the council wants to pull it up, they can pull it, relieve the committee of it. It just occurs to me that there's got to be a lot better ways to spend sunshine on the weekends when we finally get it, rather than dealing with a lot of paper. And so I don't, your city attorney or somebody else can advise you about the nuts and bolts of how much of that might be possible, but it just occurs to me that it requires an awful, no matter whether you're on the majority or whether you're in the minority, it requires an awful lot of time and commitment to a city to serve on a council or a planning commission or any of the commissions. And if there's a way to make that easier for all of you, then it might be worth thinking about. Thank you.
Thank you.
And just so that you know, the majority of the council members have decided that they won't listen to my advice, and tonight they're planning to terminate my contract for services. They also have refused to allow me to be the parliamentarian and give them any advice on Robert's rules.
Is there anybody else wishing to speak? Seeing no one, I will close this public comments. So the next thing on the agenda is going to be the resolution approving the final plat for Diamond Ridge. Barb?
Good evening, council and audience.
So you have Agenda Bill 16027, which is a resolution to approve the Diamond Ridge Subdivision final plat. That's file number PLN15-0044. The packet material, and hopefully everyone has had a chance to see that. In addition to the agenda bill, you have a resolution with an Exhibit A, which is the plat map that you would be considering for approval tonight. You've got a staff report that Seth and I prepared, the application, the hearing examiner's conclusions for final plat approval in 2011, the CCNRs, covenants and restrictions for the homeowners association that would be formed, a performance bond, and those are in your packet material to try to show you all the work that's been done and that this plat is ready for final approval. So just a really quick summary. It's a 10-lot subdivision, you've heard, off of Fifth Avenue. Received preliminary approval in 2011, which means it went through an open record hearing with a hearing examiner, resulting in a final decision with findings and conclusions. The hearing examiner had 13 conditions for approval. Those 13 conditions, along with our municipal code for the criteria for approving final plat, accepting and reviewing and approving final plat, have all been reviewed, and staff concludes that they've all been met. So the zoning on this parcel that's being subdivided, proposed for subdivision into those 10 lots, is R4, single-family residential. The proposed use for subdividing into 10 lots for single-family homes meets the zoning code designation as well as the comprehensive land use plan designation for the property, low-density residential. We have gone through on the staff report and responded to each of those 13 hearing examiner's conditions, and we really just would recommend approval. I'm going to have Seth talk a little bit about the side of the infrastructure and public works.
Go ahead. Thank you, Barb. This was a bit of a challenging subdivision. It's an infill. There's infrastructure all the way around. But what we had to address was adequate supply of water, and this particular plat was on the boundary between the two pressure zones and needed to be connected to the higher pressure zone, which required a significant amount of off-site waterline looping. It's going to improve the fire flows to the area around the Catholic Church. So there was some significant neighborhood with the addition of that waterline loop that benefits the surrounding neighborhood and the grid looping system of our water system. Additionally, the another benefit to the surrounding neighborhood was the improvements to Fifth. The last city council also approved putting out to bid on a small works roster the additional extending the obligations of the contractor to even extend those improvements a little further. With a mobilized contractor, we got an excellent bid on those improvements. So the road, what used to be in some places about 10 to 12 feet wide and deteriorating, now 22 feet wide. Mm-hmm. Another issue that had been some problems in the area was the stormwater. There was the runoff that comes from Lawson Hill Estates. During certain times of the year, it can flow like a major creek, and that has been rerouted to be connected and will be connected directly to the city's storm system. Additionally, the Fifth Street used to tilt toward the western homes, and so the stormwater would run across the street and down into their garages, down their driveways, and it was a problem that they had to deal with. With the road improvements, they're collecting that stormwater, so that's going to be an improvement to those homes on the western edge. So they've met, the first job is to make sure that all of the infrastructure is functional. There's paved roads. They have sewer stub to each lot. They've got power. They have a public water system that's been pressure tested and tested that it's purified and flushed. So it's connected. It is now connected to the public water system and water stub to each lot. And that the storm system is functional. So the remaining items in comparison are fairly minor. We need to get some better weather. It looks like it's getting better. So to get the final lift of asphalt and the other minor things to be completed, which we have bonded for. Thank you.
Okay. Are there any questions of the council for staff?
Councilmember Morgan.
This is sort of on topic and sort of not, but I keep bringing it up because it's one thing that as we change governments, we forget. We had a resolution at one time that said that we were going to use names, historical names from Black Diamond for naming streets and alleys and the like. And it's a process that's been started. We get the names actually from the index from the Black Diamond Historical Society's book. One of the things that we do is when these streets are ready to be opened, we have an opening ceremony. We invite the families whose names we're using, and we're doing it specifically as a time new people who come to town to some, at least, old people, old families who've been in town to try to preserve a little bit of our cohesive small town character.
That is a wonderful tradition. The Diamond Ridge Road is a private road, however, not a public road.
Councilmember Pepper?
Yeah. I would like to, it isn't a question, but it is information. Mm-hmm. The Growth Management Land Use Planning and Community Services Committee met on Monday night, and we reviewed the final plat documentation, and we heard testimony from the applicant. The council member Weber and I individually went through the document section and had all of our questions satisfactorily answered in committee. The staff report was well organized and thorough. This decision is ministerial decision for the council. So if the staff is satisfied that everything's been properly reviewed and verified and documented, and that all of the preliminary plat conditions of approval have been satisfied, the committee voted a due pass recommendation so that it could come for the final vote this mm-hmm. evening. So,
well, that's wonderful. Thank you.
Yes, we are recommending approval.
And we are satisfied that all the conditions have been met.
Yes.
And
so based on that, I would like to move to adopt resolution number 16-1085, approving the final plat for the Diamond Ridge subdivision, PLN 15-0044, setting forth supportive findings and fixing a time when the final plat shall become effective.
Second.
Is there any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you, Council.
Good job. Now, Erica Morgan and Pat Pepper had asked that our collective bargaining attorney come tonight for an executive session, and you didn't put an executive session on your agenda. Would you like to add it now because he's here?
I think it's at the very end. You added it at the very end of the, on the second page.
Well, he's mm-mm. from out of town. Do you think we could add it?
There's nothing there on the agenda other than it says executive session.
Wait.
Unless you have another agenda other than what was on that resolution.
No. My agenda tells you what it's for. The executive session is authorized by RCW 42-30-142 to discuss collective bargaining and also to discuss with legal counsel potential litigation pursuant to RCW 42.30-110(1)(i), possible final action may follow, but I see that you have moved to the collecting bargaining contract to a committee. So you just meant to meet with the attorney today in an executive session, is that correct? Mm-hmm.
With the, Mr. Altman?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, he is here now. Would it be good to just have that executive session now?
Yes.
I think it would make sense.
So the longer he has to sit here. Take, Peter?
Oh, boy.
An hour? I think we'd really like to have it at the end.
Pardon me?
I think we'd really like to have it at the end of the meeting, as the agenda states.
Why?
Well,
we're paying an attorney to sit here and listen to us fight. Why don't we have our executive session? Then he can be excused. You're not going to act on anything tonight anyway. Why not do it now? What's your rationale? I'm sorry, don't I deserve the respect of getting an answer?
I think that I deserve the respect of not being talked to like this. The agenda, the executive session is at the end of the meeting.
But we could change that.
You could make a motion.
So I make a motion to move the executive session up to
now
and we convene for that for a half hour, and we'll be back.
And I second it.
Is there any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. I actually will vote.
Opposed?
Nay.
Motion carries.
Okay.
So, can we use the squad room? So the next item on the agenda is unfinished business, and we have claim checks for March 17th. Is there some discussion on that? Mr. Weber?
Madam Chair, I'd like to touch on that unfinished business. In our last council meeting, I pulled the March 17th claim checks, and I also pulled the minutes for council meeting on the 21st of January. I'll address that one second. So to address the claim checks for March 17th, let's see. I'm moving to table claim check number 43294 for $10,000 to DKS Associates and approve the remaining March 17th, 2016 claim checks. And that's
yes.
Tabled until the next
question. Why are you tabling it? This was a settlement of a claim.
It's part
what
of a contract.
What part of that don't you get?
This still,
it's a part of a contract.
There's still questions on this.
Can you ask
them? Well, then what are they? You've had weeks now to come up with some questions. What are your questions?
I still have questions out with the mayor. And I have not received a response
yet. I have
yet.
Answered
I you
on DKS three times. How many times do I have to enter? It's part of a contract with Berger Aban, and we're not over contract. They didn't pay the consultant, so we paid the consultant. We're still under contract as part of Berger Aban, and I answered that twice. You asked it three times. I answered it twice. I just said I already answered you before on the last time you asked.
So what's the issue then?
Well, the comment stands. It's still in
you know, you
the budget
have
committee
to have answers for things that you pull off the agenda. You have to have answers.
I gave an answer because the question...
It's not, I not answered the question. Oh, it's part of a contract.
It's
part of the budget. You approved the we approved the budget. You didn't approve the budget, but it's part of the budget.
I understand that. And my motion to move to table that claim check and approve the remaining March 17th claim check still stands.
Second.
Okay, so discussion still. I still don't understand why the mayor explained why. I still don't understand why you don't understand. So can you give a reason? I mean, what more are you looking for? Give us some more you're looking for. What are you looking for?
I'm looking for a reply to my email that I sent last Sunday.
What was that email? I'm sure you know it by now if you've sent it three times. So what?
No, I didn't send it three times.
You have sent it three times.
So what was the email? What did you ask?
I will forward it to you.
Why can't you just tell everybody here what you asked?
So that we can
help you get the answer.
It's a lengthy email, and I did not commit every aspect of that to memory. If you want it, I will send it to you.
You asked me.
Point of order.
Excuse me. I know what was on the email. You asked me if the check to DKS, why didn't you approve the contract? I told you the contract was under Berger ABAM and they didn't pay them, so we did. That was your question. And I've answered it here tonight, and I'm wondering why you are still wanting to pull that.
And I
there
I
is no
that.
Contract because it was under Berger ABM and we are under contract and it's in the budget.
I have that. I got that. I addressed this Monday night at the budget meeting.
And what was
that? And there's still an email out there that hasn't been answered.
Mayor, may I say something? I think what needs to be restated one more time tonight is that we, the City of Black Diamond, had a contract with a firm by the name of Berger ABAM. They, in turn, contracted with DKS. They basically defaulted on their contract and never paid DKS. We, the city, then negotiated a $10,000 settlement so that they would be reimbursed for the hours spent working on our comprehensive plan that we are late on. And so to fuss this, when we've all discussed this before, you don't have any concrete reason for not approving that tonight.
I also asked to see some of the work statement, to see what we're getting for our $10,000.
It's not available. The reason we have the contract on the agenda with DKS was so we could finish the work for the comp plan. You can ask Barbara. Ask Barbara. We're not ready to put
Barbara.
The product out there. They are not ready to put a product out there.
Well, okay.
It's our transportation part of it. And I told you that before, too.
Mayor, may I make another statement? Your agenda tonight, AB 16-026, was the resolution approving an agreement with DKS. That is the activity that is going to continue to get us that work product that we need for the comprehensive plan. There is nothing to look at yet because they're not finished with it yet. But we need to contract with them directly to get the job done. What's that?
Erica Morgan.
Hi. Brian probably has his own reasons for wanting to understand this. What I see in the Washington Code is that these bills are to be paid within 30 days. And I see a bill here that's, a good half year behind that 30 days. Now, I know for sure that somewhere, somehow, there's some paper trail track that tells us what we're going to get for this $10,000. And I feel like it's my financial responsibility to the city to have a concrete understanding of what that is.
Barbara can tell you. She can tell you right now.
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So under the original scope of work that we approved for the comprehensive plan update, DKS was responsible to do the transportation piece. The transportation element is really technical and extremely costly. So what occurred is, as DKS was doing their work under as a subcontractor with Berger Abram, they realized that some of the work that had to be done wasn't in that original scope. They went outside of their scope of their contract because it was a necessity to work with PSRC. So that $10,000, it was actually a $20,000 bill that was for out-of-scope work that was necessary. They didn't come back to the city and say, we have to stop work because we just realized there's a big fatal flaw in this scope, and we need to renegotiate a scope. So what happened is they, to keep progress going, DKS did this work, and they submitted their bill to Berger Abam. Berger Abam, in turn, billed us for $20,000 worth of work that we hadn't been consulted on. So we didn't pay that. That's why the date is so far back. We worked and worked and worked with Berger Abam on trying to come to some resolution that was fair to the city. In October, so that bill, that work was done like in August, July, August. By October, the relationship between the city and Berger Abam had reached a point where we had to terminate that contract. Now, DKS had done over 90% of the transportation element that was under scope. This additional $20,000 worth of work, they had to update the housing and population modeling work that we had to have for the comp plan transportation element to pass muster. And it's expensive work. So we, after getting done terminating Berger Abam, we approached DKS. They've done very good work. We asked them if they would be willing to enter a contract with the city to finish the work, which you have an agenda bill for that. They said, what about the $20,000 that we got stiffed? And we said, we do not feel that we're responsible to pay the whole $20,000. We tried to work out with Berger Abam, we would pay half if they paid half. And they weren't willing to do that. DKS said, will you still pay half? And we said, yes. And that's what that is. But it is for, and I can show you, I mean, we don't have the software to run the model, but I can show you the scope of work, the items that we got for that $10,000, which was actually $20,000 worth of work. And it is a terrific benefit to the city to have DKS finish their work. I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, that does.
Thank you.
And I'd appreciate if you would, if I could get what you have or what you can present.
Well, what I have is disk with what's called the Synchro model and the Visum model. You won't have the software to run that.
Right.
But you can have copies of that.
So does that answer the question? To put it back on the...
Are you going to amend your motion?
Brian, do you want to amend your motion and just accept the claim checks for that day?
No.
Do you need to consult with Brian Dardowski out in the hallway? He's shaking his head that you shouldn't pass.
Councilmember Deedy, you're out of order.
I'm sorry. I'm just facts.
Okay. First of all, I don't need to consult anybody. And so, like I made my motion, I am not amending my motion.
Why? Give us a reason.
That's my prerogative, and it'll be documented even more in the next committee meeting before the next. No, this is not arbitrary.
I'm speechless.
So, I believe there's a motion on the floor. It was seconded.
I'll second it. 1 second.
So we should vote sometime?
Any further comments? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Nay.
No. Motion carries.
Okay, minutes?
Okay. Chair.
Okay.
Okay, so item number four for the minutes. This has to do with the council meeting minutes from January 21st that were pulled. What I'd like to mention about those, or should I say like to discuss, in the January 21st meeting minutes, there are numbered pages, 1 through 19, then it has the page with the sign block. There's two or three attachments added behind that from the award that Chief Kiblinger presented. There's two more letters in there that are not labeled or have any notation on them. And then there's the information that was posted from Carol Morris. So what I am proposing, or what I am moving to do, is to add, ensure that each time that the minutes are attached, or there's external documents attached to the meeting minutes, I'd like to make sure that they are notated somehow. Because you have, there's like two letters in there, but it doesn't state who it's from.
I think in the body of the minutes it said that it were attached.
One of them is Robin Taylor's.
Mm-hmm.
The other one, I looked through the meeting minutes, and I couldn't find anywhere where it was from. So my motion would be to amend the minutes to add
whoever that other attachment was, okay? Is.
Yes. And just as a general comment, because I have submitted my comments in writing, and as I was doing that, I went, huh, you know, who's going to know that's from me? So I think I maybe even handwrote my name at the top of that. But I think just a word to the audience that if you are testifying and you are providing copies to the clerk, put your name on there so that we know, and then that will solve that problem.
So anyway, whatever attachment doesn't have, we can do that. There's no problem with that.
Yeah. Okay. I just like to see that if it's noted in the body of the main body of the minutes and mention that there's attachment, that there's some kind of label or note. I think that would be beneficial.
Well, it
to
should
everybody.
Be. It should be noted.
That's not a big deal.
So I would call for a second to amend the main.
I'll second that.
Okay.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Okay, so that's the amendment part, and I will make a motion to accept the meeting, the amended meeting minutes from the January 21st council meeting.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
So the next item on the agenda is a resolution authorizing an agreement with Return Meds.
Yes.
Councilmember Morgan.
Hi. We discussed this in my committee meeting. We reviewed the staff report. We reviewed King County Board of Health secure medicine return regulations that were adopted on July 22nd, 2013. We reviewed materials from the nonprofit group that owns Return Meds. This is called Call to Cycle. I have a hard time doing this. It's called Call to Cycle. Their handout was sent earlier. Call to Cycle is a program funded by battery and product manufacturers that operates 30,000 collection sites in the U.S. We reviewed program information from King County and also contacted them for additional information. Based on our work, the committee rewrote the resolution to make it more descriptive for the public and to clarify the council's choices and intent. The first thing that I want to point out is that by adopting this resolution, the council is actually making a choice. King County requires drug producers to have an approved plan to collect unwanted medicines. So if the city did nothing, there would still be a collection program. Maybe it would be a drop box somewhere else in town or at a pharmacy in Four Corners, or maybe instead of a drop box, there would be a couple of collection events per year supervised by our police department. And reimbursed by the drug companies, or maybe perhaps there would be a mailback program where residents would be mailed envelopes pre-addressed and stamped with their return, and unwanted medicines. So, I don't know. Do we have? Shall I just read the whole, just so that you can get the?
Were we given a copy of that?
I think you were.
I thought we had some nice additions, but if.
It's maybe easier for me to just read it real quick.
Just maybe everybody has.
It's a little expanded and says a little bit more about what's
point
going
of,
on.
Point of order, wouldn't it be really nice to have the police chief, who is the author of this, to get up and discuss
it? They changed
it,
Janie.
We just added.
You've not coordinated with the police chief?
But I did send it to the attorney, and she didn't have an objection.
No. And I'll just read it real quick so that everybody can hear, because I think that's the easiest way to get through here.
Well, except it's going to take 20 minutes.
Oh, it won't take that long. I'll read fast. King County adopted its Secure Medicine Return Regulations on June 20th, 2013, which requires the drug producers to fund countywide systems to collect and safely dispose of unwanted household medicines from residents of the county. Whereas King County has implemented the Secure Medicine Return Program that is scheduled to be implemented throughout the product stewardship programs by June of 2016. Whereas as part of the obligations under the product stewardship program, drug producers are required to either advertise and conduct collection events, conduct mailback services, or collect drugs from drop boxes. And whereas drug producers are required to meet a convenience standard, which in Black Diamond area is one drop box if that method is used. Whereas the lowest cost option for the drug producers is a drop box, and whereas King County advises that drop boxes are preferred by focus groups and effective at collecting larger quantities of household medicines, and whereas King County has committed to purchase 400 drop boxes at public expense, and whereas the City of Black Diamond has determined that a collection drop box at the police department is preferable to collection events, mailback services, or a drop box at any other location in the city, and whereas the City of Black Diamond has determined that staff costs to control and monitor the drop boxes and prepare the inner liners for pickup is minimal and can be covered under the existing budget. Each day, 44 people in the United States die from overdose from prescription painkillers, and whereas 54.2% of the prescription drug users get them free from a friend or relative, and whereas prescription drugs are the drug of choice among 12 and 13-year-olds, and whereas unwanted medicines left in the home could increase opportunities for drug abuse, drug diversion, and accidental poisoning, and whereas Puget Sound salmon have high levels of drugs in their tissue caused by tainted wastewater discharge, and whereas collection programs like King County Return Meds Program can help reduce the abuse and improper disposal of household medicines, and whereas King County approved return meds as the only standard collection plan on October 13, 2015. Now, therefore, the City of Black Diamond does resolve as follows. Section 1, the City Council authorizes the mayor to execute the attached agreement with return meds to install King County-funded drop boxes at the police department and to collect and properly process and dispose of the unwanted household medicines at the expense of drug producers. This is a voluntary program for the city, so staff time to control and monitor the drop box and prepare the inner liners for pickup will be paid for by the city's existing budget, but the estimated cost is minimal. And our committee suggests that we pass this.
The committee gave it a due pass.
So I move that the resolution of the City of Black Diamond of the City of King County, Washington, authorizing the mayor to execute an agreement with Return Meds in support of a secure, convenient medicine return program to reduce the public safety and environmental impacts of unwanted medicines. Do I have a second?
Second.
Is there any further discussion?
I would just like to make a comment, because that's what I do.
I just as a caution to the council that are generating revisions to resolutions or even ordinances in the future, where there is a staff member, or in this case the police chief, who originated it, I think it would just be in our best interest to maybe coordinate with that person before we bring it forward in a council meeting. Thank you.
Any further discussion?
I didn't ask.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. So the next item of the agenda was moved to the top of the agenda. So the next item on the agenda has already been moved to a committee. Are you going to be reading this collective bargaining, first reading, finance? Are you going to be reading it and move it to committee?
Councilmember Morgan.
Oh. Resolution approving collective bargaining agreement with Public Works Unit. We're moving that to the GovOps Committee. It meets 4/18 at 6:30 p.m.
Budget.
Oh, is that, you're right. And that, but the date is right. I just can't read. Thank you. Budget and finance.
Okay, so the next item of the agenda is...
Wait, excuse me. Oh. Don't we need to vote on whether it goes to the committee or not? Or does it just because the action's already been taken, we don't count?
Yeah, you count.
Shouldn't there be a motion to move it to committee with a second and a vote?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I moved it.
Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Okay, the next item on the agenda is agreement with the DKS. Councilmember Morgan.
Okay. This is for first reading only, a resolution authorizing the mayor to sign a professional service agreement with DKS Associates for the transportation element of the comprehensive plan update. It's for first reading at the budget committee. That's also 4/18 at 6:30. Do I have a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
The next item on the agenda is item number 10, resolution regarding dismissal of Robert Edelman lawsuit, introduced by Councilmember Morgan.
Okay. This is a resolution of the City of Black Diamond, of King County, Washington, regarding dismissal of the Robert Edelman lawsuit in his marital community. Whereas at the January 7th, 2016 City Council meeting, Council members Janie Edelman and Tammy Deedy moved to confirm the Mayor Benson's appointment of City Council committees. And whereas also at the January 7th Council meeting, Mayor Benson, backed by the City Attorney, blocked the City Council from appointing its own committee members and unilaterally removed items from the Council's agenda. And whereas also at the January 7th Council meeting, Mayor Benson stated that if the City Council did not approve her proposed City Council committee appointments, she would eliminate City Council committees. And whereas at the January 21st, 2016 Council meeting, Mayor Benson used the City Attorney's opinions in a political debate over the new City Council rules of procedure allowing the City Council to appoint their own committees. And whereas at the January 21st Council meeting, the City Council adopted the new Council rules by a vote of 3-2 with Council members Edelman and Deedy opposing. And whereas on February 19th, 2016, Council member Edelman's husband, Robert Edelman, along with the marital community, initiated a lawsuit against the City attempting to invalidate the new Council rules. And whereas on February 23rd, 2016, the City Attorney filed notice of appearance at a lawsuit stating that she would represent the city, and whereas An answer from the city was due on March 10th, 2016, and whereas instead of filing an answer in defense of the city attorney entered into an agreement with Mr. Edelman to dismiss the lawsuit without prejudice, which would allow Mr. Edelman to refile the case at a later date, and whereas on March 26, 2016, the city attorney and Mr. Edelman signed a stipulation for dismissal without prejudice, which was presented to an ex parte judge of King County Superior Court that day, and whereas of March 29, 2016, the stipulation for dismissal had not yet been added to the clerk's outline docket, and the city council had not received notice that the city attorney had signed the stipulation for dismissal on behalf of the city, and whereas since no answer from the city had been filed on March 29, 2016, council member Pat Pepper and Mayor Pro Tempore Erica Morgan at their own expense filed a motion to intervene, and whereas the Pepper-Morgan motion to intervene stated that council members Pepper and Morgan seek to intervene to defend the lawfulness of the rules and to ensure that there is a ruling on the merits which settles the public debate about the separation of powers, and whereas the Pepper-Morgan motion to intervene stated that the city attorney appearing for the city in this case has gone on the record as opposing the new rules at issue and has repeatedly made public statements that the mayor controls the city council agenda, and whereas in her declaration of the court, council president Pepper stated, I believe that the rules are lawful and in the public interest, and I believe that a ruling on the merits will promote cooperation at the city hall as well as public confidence in city government. And whereas in her declaration to the court, Mayor Pro Tem Erica Morgan stated, I believe that as long as the control over the city council agendas and committees is subject to dispute, it will be difficult for me to serve the people of Black Diamond effectively. Our meetings are mired in rancor. I am seeking to intervene in this action to defend the city council rules and to ensure that the legal questions herein are decided on the merits and not by default. And whereas after learning of the dismissal order, council president Pat Pepper and Mayor Pro Tempore Erica Morgan filed a declaration with the court on April 1st, 2016 that said the city attorney did not seek my approval nor notify me about any stipulation by the city of Black Diamond to voluntarily dismiss this case without prejudice prior to filing the stipulation in this court. There was never any discussion of a stipulated dismissal by the city council, and whereas on April 1st, 2016, council president Pepper and mayor pro tempore Morgan filed a notice of objection to the stipulated dismissal and striking of the motion to intervene, and whereas the notice of objection stated the city attorney took an official position on behalf of the city that A, the city would rather drop the case than obtain a ruling on its lawfulness, on the lawfulness of the city council rules in question, and B, the city is fine with allowing Mr. Edelman or some other political opponent of the rules to refile the case at some later date. And whereas the notice of objection included in the statement from Morgan Pro Tempore, from Mayor Pro Tempore Morgan, that I am a strong believer in open government and that Open Public Meetings Act, I'm concerned that the stipulation stating the city's agreement to drop the case without prejudice was signed and entered into on behalf of the city without any public vote or notice. I would have preferred that in this case be that it be dismissed on its merits, but I do not object to the city formally agreeing to the voluntary dismissal as long as there is a public vote by the city council approving such a position, and I expect that a resolution to take this position on a voluntary dismissal will be introduced at the next regular meeting of the city council, and we're going to take that up in the GovOps committee on 4/14.
Mayor, may I make a statement? I'll try and be brief. This case was dismissed. It doesn't exist anymore. Why does this have to go to a committee?
And could I just point out, too, that Bob Edelman had a clear right, an absolute right under the court rules to dismiss his case. There's absolutely no discretion on the part of the city to keep that case going, even if three council members felt that the issues involved in those new council rules had to be decided on the merits. There's no way you can force him to continue that lawsuit if he wanted to voluntarily dismiss it.
Unless you want to pay for him to refile it.
$600 an hour, by the way.
I make a motion to pull this Second. Entirely off the agenda.
Second.
Is there any discussion?
It's a waste of time.
All those in favor?
No.
Aye. Aye to pull it.
All those opposed?
No.
No. No. Opposed.
So can I, since we're still on this, so can I ask what is going to be discussed at the committee meeting? I mean, what where's your goal? Where are you going with this?
We have made a motion and voted, and it's time to move on.
It's time to move on.
Oh, you guys, you're not even answering the questions. This is
what's
ridiculous.
Wrong with answering the question?
Because they don't have them provided to them.
The next item on the agenda is a resolution recognizing the legality of council standing committees introduced by Councilmember Pepper.
Thank you.
Well, they didn't vote.
No, they didn't vote it to the committee.
Are we missing a motion? I believe item 10 had a motion and a vote.
We already did item 10. We voted on it.
Okay.
3-2.
Do we need to vote on it again?
No, no. What the vote was on pulling it entirely.
I moved on to item number 11, resolution recognizing the legality of council standing committees.
Okay, I would like to read into the record. We keep going over and over the legality of standing committees. A resolution.
You're not an attorney. How can you propose legality? How can you
Whereas
propose
the city rules of procedure create three standing committees of the city council, each with three council members. The rules give standing committees authority to review all legislation referred by the council and to make recommendations to the full council, which retains decision-making authority. And whereas the council rules recognize the council's authority under state law to appoint its own committee members and chairpersons. And whereas the council rules state that whenever possible, committee meetings shall be conducted on weekday evenings. And whereas since standing committees have three members, which is a quorum of the council rules state that all meetings shall be noticed in the same manner as council meetings and be conducted in accordance with the Open Public Meetings Act, RCW 42.30. And whereas the standing committee structure promotes transparency and public participation by providing more frequent and earlier opportunities for the public to learn about and comment on proposed legislation.
It should say later opportunities because you move them out of the real meeting and move them to committee meetings.
Whereas the standing committee structure is better aligned with council priorities and streamlined to enable efficient participation by the public
you
and staff.
You had one person that
Whereas,
made you at the last
the council rules encourage standing committees to meet in the evenings in order to allow the public to attend and participate. And whereas the mayor, backed by the city attorney, publicly characterized the standing committees as illegal, evidencing a need to reaffirm the council's commitment to comply with the Open Public Meetings Act to make absolutely clear, as already stated in the council rules, that the council standing committees will be fully noticed and open to the public, and whereas the city clerk of Black Diamond handles the public notices, whereas the council expects and requests that the city clerk provide such notice of standing committee meetings as the law requires, consistent with the stated intention of the council that standing committee meetings comply with the OMPA. Whereas, as individuals,
and at their own expense, Council President Patricia Pepper and Mayor Pro Tem Erica Morgan obtained and made publicly available a letter by Open Government Attorney Catherine George of the firm of Harrison Bennis LLP, which generally discussed the requirements of the Open Public Meetings Act and stated in part, there is nothing in the OPMA that limits the size of a council committee. In fact, it is not unusual for a council to have a committee of the whole consisting of all council members, as long as the public has the requisite notice and opportunity to attend the governing body's meetings will satisfy the OMPA. And whereas public testimony was entered into the record that documented that other jurisdictions, including King County, the City of Seattle, and the City of Spokane, also utilize standing committees with memberships that constitute council quorums. And whereas, while those jurisdictions are chartered differently than the City of Black Diamond, they are subject to the same requirements of the Open Public Meeting Act. Whereas, the council desires to resolve the dispute about the legality of standing committees because it is negatively affecting the ability of the council to conduct its business, including the refusal by the mayor to allow staff to attend or support the committees and a resulting labor grievance. Now, therefore, the City Council of the City of Black Diamond, Washington, does resolve as follows. Section 1. The Council reaffirms its commitment to comply with the Open Public Meetings Act, including through proper notice of and public attendance at meetings of standing committees. Section 2. The Council requests that the Mayor and the City Clerk ensure that all public notice requirements for the standing committees are met. Section 3. The Council acknowledges the potential of scheduling and cost considerations associated with evening meetings and is committed to working collaboratively with the Mayor, the staff, and the bargaining unit representatives on these matters. And this is a motion to move this resolution recognizing the legality of council standing committees for first reading to the Government Operations and Administration Committee meeting next Wednesday, the 13th of April. I need a second.
I'll second it.
The adoption of a resolution doesn't mean that your previous resolution adopting the new council rules are legal. This doesn't have any effect whatsoever. And I want to point out, too, that any section of that resolution that purports to require the city clerk and the mayor to ensure proper noticing and to ensure compliance with the Open Public Meetings Act does not absolve you of your responsibility to follow the Open Public Meetings Act.
Mayor?
Yes, Council Member.
Couple comments. First of all, I want everybody to know that I received this today for the first time at 2:40 this afternoon. So my comment is, where are we promoting transparency? Certainly not to the council members. Ms. Didi got it at the same time I did. You know, they're doing these things. They all know what's going on, but us other two council members and the mayor don't know.
Councilmember Weber?
I'd like to also state that I got this at 2:40 as well today. Okay. And so you're not the only ones. It's not like we have this three-way privy here.
Well, it's just, you know, it's really difficult to be in the dark.
Councilman, I also would like to note that this is a first reading. We're not adopting a resolution here. It's a first reading for these resolutions to move to the committees.
I understand that. The issue that I have, Brian, is the lack of transparency to your, and I'm talking to all three of you, say Black Diamond council members, the lack of transparency to your fellow council people. Tammy and I never know anything until
like tonight, a bunch of stuff gets dropped on our laps. It's a different version than maybe the email that I got yesterday afternoon. There is no compliance to your own council rules that I don't recognize either as legal, but you guys don't even follow those. That's my problem.
Councilmember Weber?
I would prefer that in the future, you, if you want to address me as Black, say Black Diamond council member, mm-hmm. the proper is Black Diamond council member.
You are a member of Save Black Diamond, and I can refer to you as a Save Black Diamond council member.
I disagree.
Well, you can agree to disagree.
Motion and second.
The motion is second.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
No.
The next item on the agenda is resolution regarding the proper noticing of council agendas, and I will tell you that I do not believe in your rules, and I will not be told how to notice council agendas. Without me, you would not know what went on the council. You take, you rob my agendas to put them on your agendas and move them to committee and slow down city business. You've effectively stopped city business since you've been in office. And that is really not how council. You have an obligation to make sure business is conducted in this city, and you are not doing that. You are not doing that. And so you're going to tell me that you're going to take committee and talk about how I can properly notice meetings. I'm going to notice them the way I am required by state law and AWC and what my attorney tells me. So you can talk about this all you want, but you have no jurisdiction over me, period. Councilmember Morgan.
I'd like to introduce a resolution regarding the proper noticing of council agendas. A resolution of the City Council of the City of Black Diamond, King County, Washington, regarding the proper noticing of council agendas. Whereas RCW 35A12.120 states that the council shall determine its own order of business and may establish rules for conduct of council meetings, and whereas the council rules adopted on January 21st, 2016 by the resolution 16-1069, section 2.2 state, the agenda is the subject of approval by, is subject to the approval of the mayor pro tempore and the council president, and whereas the highly respected Municipal Research Services advises in January of 2014, that the City Council's authority under RCW A12.120 includes the authority to control the agenda for council meetings. The mayor is the presiding officer at council meetings, but does not have the authority to control the agenda contrary to the wishes of the council. And whereas the mayor wrote a memorandum to the council on February 26, 2016, stating, I will no longer submit the council agenda for any agenda to any of you for approval, and whereas on three occasions the mayor has blocked the city clerk from performing her duties to properly notice the council agendas that were approved in accordance with council rules, and whereas a purpose of requiring approval of the agenda by the council president and mayor pro tempore is to promote certainty for the public by coordinating with the mayor and reducing the need for agenda modifications at regular meetings of the council, and whereas when an agenda is publicly noticed that has not been properly approved according to the council rules, public confidence in the function of the mayor-council relationship is jeopardized. Now, therefore, the City Council of the City of Black Diamond does resolve as follows. Section 1, the mayor is reminded of her duty to faithfully administer and adopt the policies of the city and is urged to cooperate with the council president and the mayor pro tempore in ensuring proper notice of all council agendas and in accordance with the council rules of procedure. Do I have a second?
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Oh, you forgot to say when this meeting is going to be.
Oh, I did, didn't I?
Pardon me?
On the 14th. This meeting is growth government operations and that.
That was on the 13th.
Government ops is...
Oh, you've got government ops on the 13th and the 14th.
Do you?
Yeah, item number 10 you've got on the 14th. And it says government ops.
I thought government ops.
And then number 11 says government ops 413. So which is it?
Oh, I think, Madam Mayor.
Yes.
I'd like to make a blanket statement that next week there are two standing council committee meetings. Wednesday, April 13th is the growth management meeting. And Thursday, April 14th is the government ops meeting. And so... then we don't have to say when they are anymore.
Well, I think you do.
Okay, we can, but now you have the overview.
So 13 is resolution establishing policies regarding the city newsletter and communications to the public. And you can't dictate what I put in the newsletter. You weren't elected mayor. I was. So you can't dictate. You can take it to your committee and talk about it all you want, but you can't dictate to me what I'm going to put in the newsletter. I have to have my stuff approved by the attorney. I don't lie like you do in the newspaper. I do
Excuse
not lie.
Excuse me.
I have a code of ethics.
Point of order. Point of order. Mayor Benson, as the presiding chair of the council meeting, you are the presiding person and need to refrain from debate.
Please do not read the whole thing. Just read whatever you're going to move it to. Councilmember Morgan.
A resolution establishing policies of the city newsletter and communications to the public. It's on here for first reading. It's going to be on the 14th, 4/14. Has everybody read their newspaper, their newsletter? Their newsletter? There's a few around. I'm asking them if they would raise their hands if they have. Now, there are some people who haven't read it.
They're not citizens either.
The city's quarterly newsletter has been prepared and distributed by the city clerk since 2008 and has communicated useful information to city residents. And whereas the city's quarterly newsletter has traditionally reflected a generally balanced perspective about the city issues and has refrained from partisan or divisive commentary, and whereas the city newsletter should present a balanced view about the city with equal attention and respect for both the executive and legislative branches of city government, and whereas the city clerk serves both the mayor and the council in her official duties and is responsible for the preparation and distribution of the city newsletter, and whereas the city newsletter is distributed in the water bills and storm bill and stormwater bills sent
no
to the
freedom
city
of speech in this city. We have no freedom of speech.
And is paid for with public funds that are subject to approval by the city council, and whereas the city's quarterly newsletter for the second quarter of 2016 contained highly controversial and partisan commentary by the mayor. This commentary was over 1,900 words and included a long essay entitled Truth About the City, the Black Diamond City Council, whereas the mayor's commentary contained unsubstantiated accusations and false statements, including specific resident references to named individuals who find themselves cast in a negative light in an officially publicly funded newspaper that is distributed widely to the public. These kinds of communications could expose the city to defamation claims, and whereas the mayor's commentary included references that were political in nature and which could expose the city to legal sanctions for using public funds for political purposes, and whereas the council wants to protect the integrity of the city's communications to the public, including its newspaper, and whereas the council wants
to reduce the city's risk of liability for inappropriate statements, and whereas the council wants to mitigate the negative effects of the second quarter of 2016 newsletter, and whereas the council wants to establish clear and balanced policies for all communications to the public, including especially the city's newsletter, now therefore the city council of Black Diamond, Washington does resolve as follows. Section 1, that it is the policy of the city of Black Diamond that all city communications to the public shall be factual and informative. Advocacy of controversial positions are to be avoided, and care shall be taken to make sure that alternative viewpoints are fairly presented. Section 2, the city's quarterly newsletters shall reflect the activities and perspectives of the mayor and the council equally. In order to implement this policy, the city's newsletters shall be subject to approval by both the mayor and the council president. And section 3, the city's newsletter for the third quarter shall include a copy of this resolution. Have I got a second?
Second.
So, Council Member Deedy?
So what you just read, at the end there, you said, well, all that, you said no political items in the newsletter, correct?
I said balanced, I think.
So are you saying political items in the newsletter are okay? Because what I get is that you're saying no political stuff can go into the newsletter. Can I finish talking? But in the same breath on that resolution, you're saying for this political agenda here to go into the newsletter. Am I correct? Mm-hmm. So how does a wrong make a right? And how are you making a stance to saying there will be no political statements in the newsletter, but my political statement that I'm making right now is perfectly okay? So,
Mayor?
May I answer? Yes. May I answer?
I think Janie Edelman had her hand up first.
The point that I want to make is this is a city administrative newsletter. This is not a Black Diamond City Council newsletter. We have no comment or editorial authority over what the mayor and her staff choose to put in the city newsletter.
Councilmember Morgan.
Well, we're going to have a discussion of this resolution. We're just moving it for first reading. It's going to be 4:14 at 6:30 p.m. I have a communication from MRSC about this subject. Come to my committee meeting and we'll discuss it, and we'll decide if we need to change anything in it or what we need to do.
I'd like to point out that if the council is worried about exposure to liability, they should revisit their vote on the new rules, given that the city's insurance pool advised them that adopting those new rules would expose the city to
liability. Madam Chair, the city attorney was not recognized.
She is recognized by me, and I am the chair.
Mayor, may I make a comment again?
Yes.
I just also want to remind the city council members sitting up here tonight that our job is legislative. The mayor's job is administrative. And we, you three, who are not part of the Save Black Diamond group, you're overstepping your boundaries in the legislative actions that we're chartered by state law to perform. And I just would advise you three to take a step back and get back into your legislative mode and quit trying to administer the city. It's not your job.
And I need to point out that Carol Morris read everything that I wrote in that newsletter. I do not lie. I have ethics. I have a code of ethics. I did not lie in there. Those were facts. Okay. Councilmember Weber.
Well, the only thing I'm going to say on this is the fact that I've talked to some of my neighbors come up to me. I hadn't even read the newsletter yet. I've talked to some other people around town, and they are just like flabbergasted that their tax money has been spent on this newsletter with something like that. And that's all I'm going to say.
The next item on the agenda is a resolution.
Do we move this to committee? Excuse me.
Yes, she already moved it to a committee.
Okay.
We moved it.
All right.
You said 4:14.
Mm-hmm.
So the next item on the agenda is a resolution requiring council pre-approval before payment of all claims and calling for expedited compliance with the requirements of RCW 42-24 on Black Diamond Municipal Code 3.23. I provided everything to you two or three days ago when you asked for this stuff. You cannot use a resolution to modify an ordinance. We have an ordinance that addresses this. You cannot use a resolution to modify it. Carol Morris may speak to that if she'd like.
Well, I'd also like to point out that the resolution requires the mayor to come up with something to please the council, and there's no need for the mayor to do so. The auditor has already done a financial audit and not found that there's any procedures that the city hasn't adopted that the city needs to adopt. So if the council thinks there's something lacking, perhaps they can talk to the auditor.
Sorry for the delay there. I brought this up at our meeting on Monday as a draft. There is more research that I'm working on. I've already documented some stuff that I will bring up in our next meeting. And so I'm going to read this first reading of this resolution. It says, a resolution of the City of Council of the City of Black Diamond, King County, Washington, requiring council pre-approval before payment of all claims and calling for expedited compliance with the requirements of RCW 42.24 and Black Diamond Municipal Code Section 3.23, payment of city claims or obligations. Whereas Black Diamond Municipal Code Section 3.23 authorizes the finance director, city administrator, city clerk, or mayor to issue warrants or checks in payment of claims before the city council has acted to approve the claims only upon meeting all three conditions, whereas RCW 42.24 authorizes payments before legislative approval only upon the enactment of the council, upon the enactment by the council of four policies and procedures that are substantially the same as those required in Black Diamond Municipal Code Section 3.23. Whereas in response to a request from the chair of the Council's Budget, Finance, and Administrative Committee on February 6, 2016, the mayor wrote that she is the public representative who approves the vouchers. That's an email that's included as Exhibit A. Whereas in response to a request from the chair of the Council's Budget, Finance, and Administration Committee on March 29, 2016, requesting documentation that the three requirements of Black Diamond Code had been met, the mayor responded that this request is totally outside of your purview. And that is attached as Exhibit B in an email.
But I amended that.
Madam Mayor, I have the floor. Whereas RCW 42.24 and the Black Diamond Municipal Code 3.23 make clear that the procedures for the approval of vouchers and the approval of the vouchers are council responsibility, and whereas Black Diamond Municipal Code 3.23.030 letter C states that one of the conditions must be met before claims may be paid prior to council approval, is that the council has adopted contracting, hiring, purchasing, and disbursing policies that implement effective internal control. And I want to stress effective internal control. The council has not identified and the mayor has not provided any evidence that this requirement has been met at any time since Ordinance 08850 adopted Black Diamond Municipal Code 3.23.
I sent it to you 2 days ago,
Madam
Brian.
Chair, I have the floor. Whereas Black Diamond Municipal Code 3.23.030 letter B states that one of the conditions that must be met before claims may be paid prior to council approval is that, quote, the finance director, city administrator, city clerk, and the mayor have each furnished a fidelity bond in the amount of $50,000 for the faithful discharge of each of their duties. The mayor has not provided any evidence to the council that this requirement has been met. And whereas the council recognizes that payments of claims prior to council approval can help enable the efficient operation of the city, reduce the risk of late charges, and enable the ability to take advantage of early payment discounts. For this reason, the council supports this practice, but only if all legal requirements are fully met. And whereas in order to continue to authorize the payments of claims prior to council approval, the council must verify through proper documentation that all of the conditions of Black Diamond Municipal Code 3.23.030 have been met. Therefore, the City Council, City of Black Diamond, Washington, does resolve as follows. Section 1, the mayor and the finance director are not authorized to prepay claims until the council has determined that all three conditions of Black Diamond Municipal Code 3.23030 have been met. Section 2, the mayor is requested to provide documentation that will allow the council to verify that all three conditions of the Black Diamond Municipal Code 3.23.030 have been met.
So, Carol Morris, did we not do that this week?
The mayor is requested to prepare and submit for council approval recommended contracting, hiring, purchasing, and dispersing policies that implement effective internal control. And as I stated, this is the first reading, and this will go to committee. Do I have a second?
Second, you.
Carol Morris, do you remember sending them all that stuff? We have a $1 million crime policy that covers. I sent you an email and asked you, did you want us to spend an extra $5,000 for those bonds when we had $1 million worth of coverage? Do you not remember that email from 2 days ago? Carol Morris sent you the email.
Plus a reference to the ordinance that actually adopted the procedures that you're requesting.
I've received those emails. I've looked them over, and I'm still studying through the 60-page insurance policy.
All you have to do is look at the face value, for Pete's sakes.
Madam Chair, I disagree.
Well, then you can call the insurance pool, and they can tell you what it covers, or you can just say you don't think it covers what you want, and if you actually want the city to post bonds, then you have to authorize the mayor to go ahead and purchase those bonds.
Because I asked you.
But you can't
hold
up. You can't hold up all the checks just because you want to delay it until you make this decision. We have an ordinance that actually addresses what you're talking about. The auditor has reviewed the procedures of the city. The auditor has found that there's nothing wrong, and what you're doing right now is just delaying payment of checks for absolutely no reason whatsoever. The mayor has authority to require that contracts are paid and checks are issued so that we don't end up with lawsuits and we don't end up with paying additional delay claims because checks aren't sent out.
Well, I respectfully disagree, and I will document everything that I have issue with in this.
Mayor, may I make a comment?
Yes.
I wasn't going to, but I can't let it go. I would like to know why a draft resolution, regardless of whether it's required or not required because of the ordinance, the city council has an obligation to provide a full-blown resolution or ordinance to be taken up by the council, not a draft. This, if it's not ready, and you guys have been doing this all along too, if this is not in a final form to be presented to the council, you shouldn't put it on the agenda. We should be seeing a final form. You should have already done all your research.
Madam Chair.
Councilmember Weber.
The reason that this is in a draft form is because it's for first reading, it's to go to committee, it's for up for discussion, revisions, changes. Once that's completed, when it comes back to final council in full mode, it will not be coming back as a draft. That's why it's marked as a draft for first reading and committee assignment.
I agree to disagree.
Well, you're welcome.
Did we have a? Did you make
vote?
A motion?
We didn't vote.
Well, I'll make a motion to for first reading of resolution requiring council pre-approval before payment of all claims and calling for expedited compliance with the requirements of RCW 42.24 and Black Diamond Municipal Code Section 3.23, payment of city claims or obligations for first reading.
I second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Okay, next resolution regarding the city's contract legal services. You have absolutely no authority to cancel a contract or cancel the attorney. I am the one that has the control. If you wanted to be mayor, you should have run for mayor. I have control over the legal contract and the attorney. So you are not, you can take it to your committee and play your little games, but you cannot cancel her contract. And it's going to be a big waste of time for you to take it to committee because it's absolutely impossible for you to do that.
I move to
Councilmember Weber.
I just want to say that as we continually get civics lessons that we legislate and you administer, then it is our job to legislate and not your job to tell us how. So if the council wants to take something to committee, then so be it.
It's another waste of time, but okay. Let's do it.
Okay, Madam Chair, I move to suspend the rules so that the council can act on this resolution tonight. Do I have a second?
I'll second you.
Before you go on, I just want to point out that RCW 35A-12020 describes who are appointed officers in Code City. Black Diamond is a Code City. It defines the city attorney as an appointed officer. In RCW 35A-12090, it says, and I'm reading, the mayor shall have the power of appointment and removal of all appointed officers and employees subject to any applicable law, rule, or regulation relating to civil service. I'm not covered by civil service. You have no authority to remove the city attorney or to terminate my contract.
A resolution of the City Council of the City of Black Diamond, King County, Washington, regarding the City's contract legal services. Whereas the City Council of the Black Diamond adopted resolution number 14989 approving a professional services agreement with Morris Law for professional services in connection with the provision of city attorney services. And whereas the professional services agreement with Morris Law provides for termination by either party with or without cause, by providing 30 days written notice to the other party. The city also reserves the right to terminate this agreement at any time without cause by giving consultant notice in writing 10 days prior to the termination date. Now, therefore, the City of the Council of Black Diamond, Washington, does resolve the following. Section 1, the professional services agreement with Morris Law is terminated with 10 days notice. Do I have a second?
I'll second you.
Please, go ahead and act. I want to be sure I have this on the record for my whistleblowing complaint because you're terminating me or purporting to terminate me because I'm giving advice that you don't like and because I reported you to the King County Prosecutor's Office and because I've been discussing what's going on here with the state auditor. So I can make a whistleblower complaint and sue the city based on what you're doing.
We have an attorney.
Right.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
Well, I won't be signing this. I just want you to know that.
Weber didn't. Council member didn't say. Did he? I didn't hear.
Okay. Do we have department reports?
You can't. So if we have no attorney.
Mayor and Council. With a small amount of money, we were able to cooperate with the city of Covington.
Okay, let's order, please. Order.
Okay, thank you. In cooperation with the City of Covington and the City of Maple Valley, and using a couple hundred dollars from the Stormwater Fund, we'd like to, we are sponsoring a film regarding wastefulness of food. There is an incredible amount of food waste in the United States, from the farms to moving it through the distribution system, in our grocery stores, and lastly in our homes. So there's 133 billion pounds of food goes uneaten each year. Much of it is thrown out. Maybe even if a banana is not even shaped quite right. So this is a nationwide effort to try and be better stewards and eliminate the incredible amount of waste that is going on. So on Thursday, April 28th, 7 p.m., there will be a short film, panel discussion, perhaps some other activities that that the public can learn about this problem. This was very well received, and it's largely sponsored by King County Solid Waste. I'll pass this out and then leave a stack here. There's some for the public.
Seth, where is it going to be located?
Kent Lake Heights. Kent Lake High School. I also wanted to remind the council and the public that there will be a recycle event on April 30th. Lastly, I would be remiss and derelict in my duty if I did not bring up the urgency of our chlorine system. The project was identified as a need of the Springs Upgrade Project back in mid-2000. It was recognized at that time that the existing spring infrastructure was inadequate for the city to grow very much at all. The chlorine system is now well beyond its useful life. We've been able to repair it, but parts are getting harder and harder to obtain. And the support from the company is they're not able to help us as much as we would like. Technology has improved significantly. The other thing about this chlorine system is it's too small. We were having difficulty keeping up with the demands in the hot summer. Last year wasn't so bad, but with the growth that's been happening, the system needs to be larger. The project was funded through the Water Supply Facilities Funding Agreement in mid-2000. It was included in the Capital Improvement Program in mid-2000. Or in 2009, that was put on hold because of the consideration of the Nestle project. Then it was again put on hold by the council. Then the funding partners wanted to look at alternatives, and which made sense to the council at that time. So there's been reasons that it did not move forward, but it has been becoming consistently more and more urgent. Last year, because of the urgency of the chlorine upgrade, the Public Works Committee of the Council agreed to make this a separate phase of the Springs project while the other studies could continue. The funding partners agreed and provided the funding for the preliminary design. The council approved a contract for the development of the design parameters last year. The staff put the project out, advertised it for proposals in December. We evaluated those proposals, selected PumpTech as the lowest cost, most complete, and best proposal. We strongly approve you to move forward with this. At this point, if we don't act on this, there is a chance that the contractor will not honor his bids. I understand that policy decisions, you may want to have first and second readings discussed, like we did with the concurrency. We spent some time on that, probably close to 3 months. This, however, is your normal city business. We're implementing what you've asked us to do. This is at the point of just signed the contract. How much more discussion is needed? This is not a policy. It's implementing policies that have and contracts that have already been established. The bids, if we have to go back through the process because the bids expired, you're looking at another 3-4 months delay. It takes about 2 months just to order the equipment. You're putting the city at risk if we do not act on this. It's important because it's a health issue and a large financial risk to the city. The chlorine generator, it's like 2 years past its expected life already. Going out, there's a cost of going out to bid and staff time to do that. Because we go through the proposal process, it's a lot more complicated than a unit price bid. It takes a lot of time to analyze all of the submittals that come in. So that I would estimate $5,000 to $10,000 of needless time and expense to go through that again. But more importantly is the larger delay. If we're not able to repair with the next time it conks out, if it's the cell problem, you cannot replace it, then we're in an emergency situation. The only thing to do at that point is we have to call City of Tacoma, disinfect and flush their line, and turn on water from Tacoma. Now, that's going to cost about $14,000 per month. That amounts to costing each customer about $15 to $16 per month. So if that happens for, you're going to burn through cash utility fund pretty fast. So there was comments that were passed to me from the mayor that the funds were going to be used for other things. Yes, there is more money deposited, but we are doing other things. We're studying the microscopic particulate analysis of the water coming from the spring shaft. The last test came back pretty good. We want to now move forward with a contract with Icicle Creek. So their monies are set aside for other things. We can't spend the water supply facilities funding agreement funds on any other projects than what are identified in the agreement. And the funding partners, they watch our expenditures very closely. The water facility funding accounts are accounted for separately and are kept separate from other funds. So I can't manage I can't do my job unless you process this normal business stuff. That in many cities, this is on the consent agenda, this type of thing.
Does anybody think that they would like to suspend the rules and approve this contract tonight? I think that would be the right thing to do because you'd really, as citizens of Black Diamond, do you really want your water rates to go up? Because we don't have those houses that would service that Tacoma water, so you're going to have to spend a lot of extra money if you're on Black Diamond City water. Councilmember Morgan?
May I ask Seth a question?
Yes.
The bid that you have, does it have a date on it?
An expiration date?
An expiration date, uh-huh.
There's 40, we use the municipal, the WashDOT standard specs, mm-hmm. and that you can hold the bids around 45 days. We're past that now. But the contractor was expecting that we would get an award today. So would he honor it longer? I'd have to call. I don't know. If costs were gone up, maybe not.
I guess my other question would be, why didn't this come forward 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago?
What do you mean? Well, frankly, the level of scrutiny that we are putting into our packets is at a much higher level. So it's just taking everything longer and more time.
And I guess I can appreciate that because it is on this end too.
Would anybody like to suspend the rules and approve this? You've had it in committee.
I would make a motion that we suspend the rules and vote on it tonight.
Second.
Wow. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay, so somebody makes a motion for it's in the original packet.
Do you have the original packet, Tammy?
I don't.
Oh. Here.
Oh, I do.
Yeah, you do. It's right here. I've got it right here. That's it. That's a slip.
That's was it. That the original one? Mm-hmm. So I make a motion to adopt resolution number, I'm not sure what, 16. I haven't got a number yet.
It'll be assigned.
1688, authorizing the mayor. 1688, authorizing the mayor to sign a contract with Pump Tech, Inc. to supply and install a new 12-pound per day on-site sodium hypochlorite generation system for the city springs water source. Thanks.
Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
No.
Pardon me?
No.
No.
Council Member Pepper didn't vote.
Council's a yes. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Just a real quick, it's getting so late, just a quick department report for you. Community development, our little planning and permitting office is getting busy. It's building season, and plus we're working on the comp plan, as you know, just trying to get that to a point where we can actually bring it to a final draft for public input and then through the process. So two of the things that are concerning to me is, one, the city has a need for council to consider the resolution that you have for approving a personal service agreement for a building official for BHC consultants. And I think that's been to committee on first reading. I'm not exactly sure, but the situation there for the city is we are required by law to have a building official. The building official that we had through the interlocal agreement that we had with the Tri-Cities, he was from Covington, as well as the plans examiner. They're no longer providing service to Black Diamond. So I really need you to consider the timeliness, if you would, with all due respect, on discussing that request for the personal services agreement for BHC consultants to provide the city with a building official and plans examiner. That's one plea, and the other is the DQS. We discussed that a little bit about the $10,000 settlement, but you've also got a resolution that you moved to committee, and that is to approve the personal service agreement with DKS for a not-to-exceed amount to allow them to finish up their work. And until that transportation element work is completed, it's going to be very difficult with those delays to stay on track with our already laid comp plan work. So we're very, very running quite smoothly considering we're understaffed and we're getting quite busy. But I think we're in for a good summer here in the department. Thank you.
Would you like to ask any questions about either one of those contracts? Because you could suspend the rules and vote on these contracts today, too.
And we would really like to see people come to the staff, come to our committee meetings.
Wow. Thank you, Barbara.
Thanks, Barbara.
Mayor?
Yes.
So the city council doesn't want to move forward on any city business when we're going to be getting complaints. I've already been complained to about how long it takes to nothing. No offense, Barb, but it does take a long time. I can speak from personal experience. I just wanted a tree permit. It took 3 weeks, something like that. It should have been a really easy thing. I just do not understand why we cannot move these things forward. They've been in committee. We've got other things that have been in committee since February, and they're not coming out. They go into the great abyss.
Ms. Miller.
Mayor, council, citizens, my name's Mae Miller. I'm the finance director. I've been here in Black Diamond about 8 years now, and before that I worked 31 years for the city of Kent. I was finance director and worked for finance all that time. And I take great personal pride, you know, in doing my job, following the rules, following all the RCWs, saving funds for the city, being as economical as we can, doing the best job we can to do all of our financial reporting, and getting clean audits. In my 39 years working in finance, I've never, ever encountered a situation where the council was not approving the city's bills. The March 17 bills were not approved till tonight, and the April 7th bills, we didn't know if we're going to be approved tonight. I'm just having a hard time understanding why anybody would want to risk not paying your bills, just like any business or any person. You know, there's really public safety concerns. In those packets of bills tonight, the ValleyCom 911 bills for January and February were in there. If we don't pay those bills, citizens aren't going to be able to call 911. The police Cenex bill where they get the gas was in those. Those were also, because it takes a while to get them, it takes a while for us to batch them, it takes a while for us to get them out to the council. If we can't buy gas, the police can't chase the bad guys. The repairs to the police cars were in there. The Spelman technology, annual maintenance for all the police records to enter in the computer, the Enumclaw jail costs, the police uniforms, their rifles, their guns, their training. their Puget Sound energy bill, their Verizon, their phones. How are they going to be able to operate if we can't pay those? We take in gun permit money, and then we have to remit that money within X days to the state, and it's set up by electronic fund transfer. We cannot delay paying those bills. We're required to. The court, the bills in the packet tonight, we couldn't pay the judge. We couldn't pay the prosecutor or the public defender. We couldn't pay the money we collect as fines that go on to the state share and the court share. And we have requirements under the law that we have X days to pay those. That's why the early payment requirements are in the ordinance that the council, the attorney helped us adopt, and we have at the city. The community development, the planners in there that's working on the comp plan, and I understand, at least I heard, that comp plan is really important. We've got to continue to pay these bills on time. The Covington and Maple Valley plan check fees were in there. We can't not pay our other cities. The bills to pay the jail costs for Enumclaw were in there. We can't not pay Enumclaw, or else we may not have a place to put our people in jail. The postage was in there. That's also an electronic fund transfer. The systems now are set up where when you run out of postage, they take it out of your account. We put it on the voucher printout and ask for your approval. The public works, all the contractors, bills are in there. Do we want to stop the downtown water line replacement project that's funded by block grant? Do we want to stop the Roberts Drive project that has a TIB grant? The WFSA chlorine project, all those bills have dates of when we are required to pay, and we watch every single invoice. When is that due? Some require early. We list those. The others we put in the batch to bring to you under the consent to have approved. All the public works maintenance costs, all the locates that they have to do when a citizen calls in and says, I need you to locate the power lines, all the water testing to make sure our water is safe, the metro sewer bill, it's about $43,000. It has a contract and it has a deadline, and we collect the money from the citizens on the utility bill, and we have a certain number of days to get that money to King County. The MDR bills, all the consultants, the traffic, the environment, the civil engineers are 100% reimbursed. We have to pay those before we get reimbursed. If we delay the payment, we delay the reimbursement. And we also risk those projects. All the building maintenance costs for the building that the MDRT team is in, it's 100% paid for by Oak Point. If we can't pay our bills, we can't even bill them to reimburse us. And then just the general, you know, if just like any person, our phone bills, our light bills, our garbage, our technology that records these meetings, if we can't pay those bills, we really can't operate. And last, one of the bills that was in there is the bill to pay the state auditor for the audit they just completed and our monthly state excise report that all businesses have to pay. I'm sorry, I just don't understand.
Do we have a question?
Thank you. Yeah, May, they have questions.
I just have two questions. Mm-hmm. Currently, with the way the resolution's set up, the ordinance, the bills get paid before they come to council for approval, correct?
We list the few that have a due date that when we have the contract and it says it's going to be due because of the time of the month your meetings are, we list those. Those are early release. We've sent those. The rest of those we hold, and tomorrow we'll mail out the checks. We separate them. The electronic fund transfers that they've already taken out of our account because it's postage, because it's our taxes that we have to pay.
Okay.
Those are already released, so we're reporting to you, yes, we've released those because they've already taken them out of our check. The state requires us to pay our taxes online.
Okay, thank you. I have just one other question.
Can
you tell me, is there a ballpark when the auditor's exit might get rescheduled?
I talked to her today, and she's going to get back to me Monday or Tuesday to try to let us know, and everyone will be invited to that audit.
All right, thank you.
And I'll get back to you soon. And we do have the ordinances in place that adopt the purchasing and the contracting and all those. We work really hard with city attorneys, not Ms. Morris, but previous city attorneys. We had workshops for all the staff to know what all the bidding laws are, know when we can bid, know what kind of things we have to have certain requirements, what dollar amounts, and we follow that closely. Every single department verifies every single purchase. I know there was a question about the credit card bills, and those are paying police training. Some of the police rifles and things go through the city credit card because we don't have accounts with all those companies. And the police chief authorized those. She certifies those per the RCW.
Does anybody want to reconsider those checks? So do we have any more department reports? Okay, mayor's report. I attended a Miner's Day meeting, an Enumclaw School Foundation fundraiser, a public safety meeting, a management meeting, and a finance meeting. And I just had some statistics since the beginning of the year that our legal costs are double what they were for the entire year last year. We had 7 special council meetings last year, and we've had 19 this year already, so they've been noticed by the city and staff as you requested. And last year, as of this date, we had 14 public disclosures, 59 for the entire year, and we have 59 already this year based on these council rules. So that's the end of my report. Councilmember Deedy.
So I did attend the school, the foundation luncheon, and I did go to a legislative dinner where all your legislators are, and they talk a little bit. But I have questions, so I just like to read them, and hopefully council can answer them. But if not, maybe you guys can answer them in an email to me. So number one, why was your agenda submitted on Monday, or at least that's when I received it? Number two, why was there so many changes to your agenda, the last one being at 2:40 p.m. this afternoon? Number three question, why is Councilmember Edelman and myself not included in emails? There's so many emails that you guys send out that when I go talk to the mayor, she says, did you see this? And I'm like, no, I didn't see that. But we should have been included on that email. So I just don't understand why. I think my conclusion is that you guys are just so used to being the three that you forget that Janie and I are here. So that's just my thought on all this. So number four, why was a decision made to do a due pass, I believe this was April 4th in the morning, before the committee meeting on Monday and Tuesday? So before you met, you sent an email to the mayor saying this will go on to the agenda, it will have a due pass, but you didn't even have the meeting yet. So I don't understand how you did that. Number five, the introduction slip, was it filled out by Pepper and Morgan for these resolutions that just came out today? I saw Councilmember Weber's one attached here, but I didn't see any other slips. Okay. So number six, who is tracking these introduction slips? Are they made public at submission time when you submit them? Are they presented to council at time of resolution or an ordinance? So where are they? How do they work? Because I just got them on Monday. I just got those introduction slips that you guys talked about, well, you need to fill these out before you put anything on the agenda. So Janie and I agreed to with the mayor to put the last agenda on the one that we had here before you guys switched it up. So we agreed to put that on. So I'm so confused. So number seven, why are these resolutions not getting a first reading, the ones that just went out today that we that you guys passed? Why didn't they just follow your council rules? So I know that you suspended the rules and then sent to a committee. So the public hears the concerns for questions council may have and hear what staff, attorney have to say. So, you know, I don't know. So number eight, Councilmember Edelman and myself have asked the council to suspend rules, but Councilmember Pepper, you stated when Councilmember Edelman and I asked that we are going to follow rules. There's no suspending them. Why is it okay for you three council members to break the rules, but when asked by Edelman and myself, we get a no? So number nine, explain to me what a first reading is. I still truly don't quite understand these first readings. Number 10, the council as a whole needs to have a discussion on each agenda item that is brought forward for first reading. So if you're going to do a first reading, the council as a whole should have a discussion on it. So staff can prepare a statement so then staff would know and they could attend tonight's meeting like you have. I'm very grateful for that. And then you can add all the information that you have to the first reading. It just makes sense to me that if you're going to do a first reading, staff is here. Let's see. So staff can prepare a statement on the item and attend council meeting. Then the public hears from the staff, so everybody gets to hear what staff has to say. And then you get to hear from our city attorney, if she has any input. You get to hear from the mayor, because everything comes out of the mayor's office. And then you get to hear from all five council members. So all five council members, staff, attorney, everybody's here, and we're talking about your first reading on the agenda. Then you can take it to, I guess, your committee meeting. And then when you're there, you'll actually have knowledge about what you're discussing. So everybody's there. And everybody that comes of citizens will know, here's what these people said, here's what this. So they all have information. It makes sense to me. So all five council members then move it to the committee for further review. For any new questions or information, why is this not a good idea? This way the public is prepared for the committee meeting. So number 11, introduction slips. This is considered, to me, a rolling meeting. Let's say council member and myself want to put an agenda item on. So we fill out a slip. We send it to Councilmember Morgan for approval or no approval. So she may say, oh, that's a great idea, but I think that you should add this, or I don't think that's a good idea. So now you've got a rolling meeting. So now you've got Janie and I, and now you've got Councilmember Eric Morgan adding input. So that's a rolling meeting. So you send it to Councilmember Morgan for approval or no approval. Doesn't this constitute a rolling meeting? So that's my question. And if Councilmember Morgan approves, then doesn't that appear to be to the public that the resolution or an ordinance will pass? Because now you've got three of us. Obviously, Janie and I would want that to pass because it's our resolution and our ordinance. And you've got Councilmember Morgan, who's now agreed. So just in the public eye, it looks like it didn't really need to go anywhere because the three of us already agreed to it. So to the public that the resolution will pass as it is, appears to have three favorable votes. So number 12, how is any of this open and transparent? So I did put for Councilmember Pepper, but I'll just leave it for everybody. 13. Canceling the contract with Morris Law, how is this legal? And I know it's not legal, but I just want to know from you guys. And so if you have the authority, if the council has the authority to cancel a contract, then that means that we have the authority to cancel any and all contracts. So if I was a business person, I would not want to do business here, because at any time the council could just say, sorry, we don't want you here. You may have dug up that ditch out there, but we're canceling your contract. So to me, that's just arbitrarily wrong. So let's see. So the other question I have is executive for the bargaining agreement. We did have that executive session. Thank you. That was needed. And then thank you for passing the chlorine. So that was awesome. So those are my 16 items. So thank you. So hopefully I'll get answers to all those. I will retype these so Mary Jane can understand my writing, but I will submit these papers so that it'll be part of the document. But I would like answers to all of them. So thank you.
Councilmember Morgan.
Oh, hi. I think I'll change the subject a little bit. I am on the budget committee. One of the things that I did when I very first contemplated this, actually the budget itself, was I calculated out that in the city of Black Diamond, if your family lives in the city of Black Diamond, the city of Black Diamond is spending $9,000 a year for every family who lives here. And I checked with other cities around our neighborhood and further, and our immediate neighbors like Enumclaw, Covington, Maple Valley, like that, $4,000 to $6,000. And I thought, per household per year. And I thought, well, I'm sure that the city of Black Diamond, that everything in the city of Black Diamond is fair and square. But this is a third more than other cities are spending. And so one of the things that I had asked for numerous times in the past, but we'll just concentrate on this last week since Monday. I know that when the city came to work on Monday morning, there was an email there from me asking if I could view the supporting documentation for the vouchers. I got an email, and I left my phone numbers. I would be available to come in anytime. I got an email back late that day maybe it wasn't that late. Maybe it was in the middle of the day, but I picked it up late. But anyway, it said, there's no time today for you to review the vouchers or the supporting documentation. And I waited, and I waited, and I still haven't gotten any. There's never been a convenient time. What I would like to leave open, and I can understand there might be some reason about that, but what I would like to leave open is, this is a standing invitation for me. Any time that I could come in and review the vouchers against their supporting documentation, I will probably be the best that I can to be available to come and do it when it's convenient for the city. Thank you.
Councilmember Edelman.
Okay.
So, can I
go ahead.
Step on your...
Sure.
For just a second. I forgot to mention that when our attorney came up to me and gave me a piece of paper, I just wanted to read what she has stated, what was on here, so that I don't get a PDR about it. So preparation of council agenda. This is Section 3, Regular Council Meeting Order of Business 3.1. All items to be included on the agenda for consideration at a council meeting should be submitted to the city clerk in full no later than 10 a.m., 9 days prior to the scheduled council meeting, provided that items that have received a due pass recommendation from a council standing committee may be placed on the next available regular council meeting agenda. So there's a little bit more in there, but...
So they have to be submitted in full, not draft resolution.
Right,
exactly.
I've been to a few things the last few weeks. Miners Day Committee, I'm on that now. Went to the first meeting, the Enumclaw School District Luncheon, and then I've been to various meetings with the staff in the last couple of weeks. But I want to address what Councilmember Morgan was citing about how our bills are so much higher. The city's paying so much more per household. We have a smaller population of households. So if you and we have a public water system. Maple Valley and Covington use Covington water. Let me finish. Covington water systems. We're spreading our water bill, which is a set number, over, last I heard it was like 850 homes. So as we get more homes that are going to be connecting to city water, that would go down. You take that same finite amount of money and you divide it by more households, the cost goes down per household. And so what we're failing to recognize here is that Enumclaw, Maple Valley, and Covington all have population, well, I don't know about Enumclaw, but Maple Valley and Covington are somewhere in the neighborhood of 20,000 people. We're not even 4,200. So even I can do that math, almost in my head. So I'm done.
Councilmember Weber?
Monday night we had a Budget and Finance Committee meeting and a Growth Management meeting. We'll have another. It was kind of a move up on the Growth Management. We'll have anybody that's interested in the comp plan. We have an upcoming Joint Planning Commission Council meeting as well. So come out and Ms. Kincaid, are you still going to have you taking comments and updating and? Yeah.
Councilmember Pepper?
Yes, I've been doing the work of the City of Black Diamond for the people that are here and also for the people that are not here. I would also like staff to know that the committee meetings go on, and at some point in the future, I look forward very much to being able to work with you. Thank you for coming out tonight.
Carol, do you have a report? Okay, it's time for a second public comments. Please come up to the microphone and state your name.
Good evening, Council. My name is Andy Williamson, and I represent Teamsters 117 in my actions tonight. It is 15 hours into the workday, and 8 of our union members still sit here serving you as public servants. Tonight, you had an executive session for certain reasons. We would appreciate if the council would honor the contract that you just administered, a 2-year contract, on the process of how the union and the management work through its difficulties. Please do not bring Union 117 Teamsters members issues into resolutions, into ordinances, or those in the paper. That is not the process that you signed in the contract representing the Teamster members. So with that, thank you.
Is there anybody else wishing to speak? Bob?
Bob Edelman, Black Diamond. I actually was going to request the time that I might consume because of the my name was brought out in one of the resolutions several times as the husband of Council Member Janie Edelman. But it's getting late. Let me just request 5 minutes. Is that okay? So much. First of all, I think we need to recognize, in fact, I think I can explain to you the source of a lot of the difficulty that we're having tonight. We received a detailed, lengthy explanation of the new council rules from Brian Drodowski at one of the committee meetings. There were a lot of things that were explained in there that show why the council rules were established the way they were and the faulty basis for that. Let me start with some of the most important ones. Mr. Drodowski said that a council meeting is not a meeting of the mayor and the council. That's unbelievable. RCW 35A.12.110, the first sentence actually states the opposite. It states, the city council and mayor shall meet regularly, at least once a month, etc. This council meeting is a meeting of the council and the mayor. Now, that was pressed a number of times. It was said a number of different ways. At one point, he said the mayor, and then he said, wait, I shouldn't say the mayor, the presiding officer, because when the mayor is at a council meeting, by law, the role of the mayor is not the role of the mayor, as people understand it. It's the role of the presiding officer. There's another one where he says the principle is that the council meeting is the council's meeting. That's not true. The mayor is acting, he's saying this now, the mayor is acting as a presiding officer at the service of the council. It's not the mayor's meeting. It's actually the council's meeting. State law says that the mayor performs the function of presiding officer. There's no other powers. So the mayor is serving the interest of the council. He says there's no other powers. I referenced 35A.12.110. That section further states specific duties that the mayor has with respect to council meetings beyond merely serving as chair. That includes voting to break ties on certain legislation, veto authority on certain legislation, duty to make recommendations to the council, duty to present a budget, so on. Regarding the duty to make recommendations, state law specifically gives the mayor the duty to make recommendations for council consideration and action. The new rule abrogates the mayor's authority to do so. The new rule require that all ordinances and resolutions be referred to committee before being considered by the full council. Two of the three council members on the committee can hold a measure hostage to their demands or hold a measure indefinitely to kill any consideration by the full council. Mr. Drodowski admits that this is an important power that the new rules give them, to let matters die in committee without ever being presented to the council. And we're seeing some of that happen. His presentation was replete with misinformation like this. I got to stress it to you. Read RCW 35A.12.110. Read 35A.12.100. Please understand that this meeting is a meeting of the mayor and the council. It is not the council's meeting. Mr. Drodowski said that, now in reality, this may sound really strange, but a strong mayor system means a strong council system. My only comment on that is, yes, in reality, that is truly strange. Just one other item I need to add. Tonight we had since the new rules were promulgated, we had a call for the question. I hope everybody understands a call for the question means we are ending debate. That is a motion to end debate. In the old council rules, and this is also consistent with Robert's Rules of Order, a motion to end debate requires supermajority, two-thirds in Robert's rules, and in our old rules, it required four out of the five council members. Obvious reasons. That's a very, very important protection of the minority. If the minority wants to continue to debate, they should be allowed to do it. Now, Mr. Dadowski said the reason for that is so that somebody doesn't get up there and, I forgot what the word is, you know, just keep talking. What was it?
Filibuster.
Well, that's two people can stop that. I'm sorry, Mayor.
Your time is up.
Just could I add one comment regarding that? I asked that question. Why did you change it to a simple majority? It can end debate. He didn't answer. He said he would get an answer to me. Then later on, when it came time to get the answer to me, they said, well, that lawsuit's standing in the way because that's in your lawsuit. Okay, no lawsuit anymore. It's been dismissed. Please tell me why that was changed from a supermajority to a simple majority.
Madam Mayor and council members, thank you for your public service. You've put in a good long night's work tonight. It was my honor to be requested to us. Mr. Edelman, please. That's fine. First of all, it was an honor to be requested to assist in suggesting revisions to the rules. The reason this was requested is that at your January 7th meeting, you were unable to accomplish your work. And so I was given certain instructions as to what sorts of things you'd like to see by Councilmember Morgan in particular. And what you wanted to see was you wanted to see stronger public participation. You wanted to see evening meetings. You wanted to have a very clear demarcation between the role of the mayor and the role of the council so that there would be accountability, so that if the mayor was too influential on the council, then if the council didn't do a good job, whose responsibility is it? And that by having rules that clearly placed the council in control of its agenda and its committees and its workflow, that you could be truly held accountable. Moreover, you asked that the council be in a position not of blind allegiance to this, I don't think you use terminology like that, but blind allegiance, for any other way of putting it, to what the mayor and her staff suggest, but rather as a, to quote former President Reagan, trust but verify sort of position, where you would begin reviewing legislation in a very detailed way. You would look for things so that you could do your job. And that over time, this would increase the quality of work that is done by the mayor and the staff. And in fact, that close relationship, hopefully, by the council getting into the details, the staff would come to respect and appreciate the council members, so that the council members would be seen as, you might say, policy wonks, people that are willing to get into the details and be knowledgeable. That was the great hope. Now, that hope has run on rocky shores. And the basic reason for that, I think I've addressed to you before, is because there are two big false assumptions, in my opinion, as a layperson, but someone that's been involved for a long time in these sorts of things. And those two false assumptions are, is that the council does not have the authority to control its agenda.
Your time is up.
Sure.
Mr. Edelman was given extra time.
What?
Well,
he didn't ask for it.
He didn't ask for it.
Okay.
I would like to continue the remarks. If the council would like to hear them, you know, I don't really need to talk to hear myself talk.
We don't need to hear you talk either.
Mr. Dudowski, if you have a point that you wanted to finish up on,
sure.
Please.
Sure, I'd like to. And I don't know exactly where I was, but...
Two false assumptions.
Yes, and the two false assumptions are that the council doesn't have the authority to control its agenda, and the council's committees are illegal. And those two things are not correct. And that has been the foundational problem that's created all of this mess. It's caused a lot of things. And so it's a pretty simple. Now, Mr. Edelman asked me specifically why the two-thirds rule. I think anybody that's been attending these meetings should probably pretty clearly see why you would want to protect yourself against filibuster. I think that's manifestly obvious. While it is true that I want to clarify that it is true that a committee chair does not have to bring an item up for deliberation. They're in charge of the committee as long as the committee allows them to be in control. But at any time, your rules state that the council, by a simple majority vote, can pull anything out of committee. In fact, you did that tonight. Rather than referring an item to committee, you took action on it. You certainly have the right to do that. Moreover, if something is in already referred to committee, and if it hasn't been reported out, at any time, the council can make a motion during a regular council meeting to pull it out of committee and put it on the council for agenda. Remember that the three votes, the council is always in control of its work. And there's no way that a committee chair or any individual can frustrate that work. Thank you. I hope that offers some clarity.
Well, does council mind if I ask him a question?
No, go ahead.
Yeah.
So I've asked several times why there was no work study on the council rules, because it's council rules. So three council members, I know, Weber, you've stated that you didn't know anything about them, or you didn't read them that night. But why was there no, why wouldn't you, being a King County council member, want to be a part of the council rules being made? So why didn't you say that it would have been a good idea to have a work study with all council members to go over these rules so that everybody has input on the rules? So it isn't a, like, what do you call it, filibuster?
Yeah.
So that two council members bring rules and they just, and Councilmember Weber just pass it without any, Councilmember Weber, no input on those rules. So why is that a good idea?
Well, that's really not for me to answer.
It's
for
the
council.
Your rules.
Well,
they're your rules.
No, my role is my role as a citizen volunteer is to provide a service and to help on behalf of the public interest. That's my role, and that's really my only role. I don't have a dog in the hunt here. I'm here to help provide folks what you need. And so, and Councilmember Didi, if you needed some assistance,
well, I've asked
in the public
question.
Interest, I'd be happy to help.
No, I don't. I've asked the question of these
sure.
three.
You know, there is such a thing. You know, there is such a thing, and I'm getting sucked into the same kind of trap that you councilmembers are.
Let's just end debate.
And so it's
let's just end debate.
Thank you for the opportunity to address you, and I hope
thank
I've
you.
Offered yeah. some clarity.
Does anybody else wish to speak? Robin?
Oh. Because we have a new person.
My name is Mark, Lake Sawyer, Black Diamond. I never met any of you.
What's your last name?
Hill.
Hill, okay.
What I've witnessed tonight, wow. My example to these guys was if we filled the room full of ninth graders from the high school and they got to watch you tonight, what would they think of your legacy? Because I have sat there and watched you, and believe me, You know, like when they commit a murder, they leave DNA. Everything you do is being recorded. I'm watching your physical movements. I'm watching your non-participation of giving me eye contact. You never once looked at the crowd. That's the mark of a liar. A liar looks down all the time. A con artist will look you in the eye because he has to sell you on something. You guys have never once, when you spoke, looked at the crowd. It's a clear indication. It's clear. You were already caught on videotape. I've never met you before. I came here tonight. If I was a Save Black Diamond person, I would quit the cause. Because you are just cold busted. Do you know how many times I sat there and watched you signal Weber on the vote? It's sick. I mean, you're caught. Cold busted. You're hurting people. You just haven't seen it yet. You haven't felt it yet. But when one of these little kids ends up drinking bad water this summer, or something happens to someone's house and someone gets hurt, gets killed, what's the difference between you and a terrorist? Because you have a cause, Save Black Diamond. The jihadists have a cause too. And they don't care how it's done. You seem to not care how it's done. And I am addressing you directly because you are not a starter. You are a bench player. And you are killing whatever cause Save Black Diamond has. I mean, I've been watching you all night. You are clearly not an honest human being. And I can look at you now and tell you, listen, there's no lying that we know you're older, but is that what you really want your legacy to be? Really? I mean, you really need to go home and think about your legacy because you think you're representing the people. I haven't met a Black Diamond person in this room tonight who likes you. During the break, not one of them had a positive thing to say about you. Not one. You're clearly so far behind, you can't even lift your head up because you're trying to take notes. You haven't even practiced or articulated what you want to say when you come to a meeting. You're on the council. You should know how to bring forth an amendment. You have plenty of time to practice this. If you don't know how, go see your mayor. She'll take you. The woman that you're battling against is helping you. She's cueing you, doing all these signals to help you get your stuff forward, even though she doesn't even want it. She's helping you. And you can't even pick up on the message. You're so far behind. You are really, you're killing the cause. If I was a Save Black Diamond person and I met you, I would quit the cause. I really would. It's so far bad that Weber sits there and when he wants to speak, he has to actually think about it. Why? Because he's going through that male chauvinistic thing. These women are killing us. He knows he needs new players. He knows he wants new players. Because you guys are just killing it. But you think you're winning.
Time's up.
Go ahead.
Thank you.
Barack?
I'll make this pretty quick. I've attended some of the committee meetings, and I voiced my concern on Monday. And just to reiterate some of the rules that might be more conducive to public input is to have public input at the beginning, public input during your discussions about the different items on the agenda, and then maybe a closing opportunity for people in the audience to talk to. So I talked about that on Monday. I think that would be a good thing to help some of that information exchange. And then I think that we've lost a lawyer.
No. They can't fire.
Okay.
We already talked about it.
Okay.
So hold on. You got to say your name and the city you live in.
Oh, well, yeah.
Sorry. You just got to do it.
I'm Brock Deedy, and I live in Black Diamond.
Robin?
Robin Taylor, Black Diamond. I was looking forward to Act Two, but it's been taken care of. Thank you. I appreciate that. But tonight's meeting certainly gave me additional fodder. I'm going to start out with the resolution recognizing the legality of council standing committees. I thought, wow, that's really great. That's like the fox guarding the hen house. Somehow you guys can declare yourself legal.
I mean, the mind boggles. The mind boggles. But it will, it does hearken me back to something I said before concerning capricious dictators. Capricious dictators will always say their laws are legal. Capricious dictators will always decide which laws they will follow and when they will or will not follow them. But they will always insist everyone else must follow the laws. As far as the letter from the Open Government attorney, Catherine George, I have a copy of that somewhere at home. I read it. I read the whole thing. And what comes out, what stuck out to me was a statement that was not mentioned in this this We Are Legal resolution, where she stated, and I can't quote it because I didn't have it in front of me, but the best of my memory says, she stated that whether or not it was a good idea for a council of five members to have committees made up of a quorum was beyond the scope of this letter and what the council members requested. She did not address that it was a good idea. But the underlying tone was perhaps it was not. As far as Brian Drodowski being a citizen volunteer, he might be a citizen volunteer of King County, but he is not a citizen of Black Diamond. In fact, Brian Drodowski, Kristen Bryant, Judy Carrier, Peter Rimbos, and Peter Kellerman are not citizens of Black Diamond. Yet they are basically the shadow government of this council, of the three majority. They are the ones that give the direction, and they are the ones that these three listen to. Now, accountability of the council. So why does the majority intimate that the mayor is responsible for the devolution into chaos the council meetings have become? Where is this accountable council? Where is that accountability? You always are, like, pointing to somebody other than yourselves. You're not responsible for a thing, but I will tell you one thing. There was not a single meeting run in this chaotic matter with the last council. It all started January 7th. It all started January 7th, every bit of it. Protection against filibuster? May I have just a couple more moments?
Yes, sure. Everybody
else is going. Protection against filibuster? You can't hardly get these three to talk. Councilmember Morgan, admittedly, she speaks the most. Councilmember Weber, he speaks a little bit less. And Councilmember Pepper, not much at all. You can't hardly get answers out of the majority members. They don't talk. So I can see why the little bit the minority speak would be considered a filibuster. I mean, it's just math. Councilmember Weber, you take issue with being referred to as a Save Black Diamond council member. Perhaps it is time that you take action to distance yourself from the Save Black Diamond directions and the Save Black Diamond decision-making process. Otherwise, you will still be a Save Black Diamond council member. You are responsible for that moniker, and you are the one that can change it. I challenge you. Change it. Thank you.
Is there anybody else wishing to speak? Seeing no one, I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
I move that we adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. 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 Motion carries.